Just so I would forget too much. Well, first of all, I want to say things are going, in my perception, very well. You've added a missing link in our congregation, and Devin now has filled in nicely. And from my perspective, I'm looking out there and seeing the pews fill up again.
And you have a good perspective.
I see everybody. I know everybody sits. Yeah, I'm up there more than you are. So that's encouraging to me. And in terms of Eric, no animosity between us whatsoever. He's a friend. For those of you who weren't around at the time, when Eric went through his divorce, he lost his job here because he was a youth minister, and he was fired or let go of by the elders. And Eric didn't have a job, and I hired him. Okay? So Eric and I go way back. I consider Eric and Elizabeth my friends. They're very nice people. But in terms of being an elder, I have issues. How was it that Eric's name came up? Did he say, I want to be an elder, or did somebody actually nominate him?
We've had several people over the last couple of years ask, could he be or why not?
See, one of my concerns is, and I wanted to sit in those classes to see what was said, and I did, and I know when Steve Autry was going through the qualifications, he kind of said, and the husband's supposed to take care of the wife. I go, wait a minute, that's not quite what it says, you know?
That was me.
No, you said, you listed, yeah. But then Steve reiterated and then didn't say that. And the fact is, Eric's been married and divorced, period. And I'm thinking, all right, how many elders, Brad, you've been here the longest, how many elders at McKnight have ever been divorced? None, including you guys. How many elders in the church, St. Louis, that you know of have been married and divorced? None. I don't want Eric to stand out as, hey, I've been married and divorced. How many of the people here that know Eric know that he's been married and divorced? I think if you really want him to push him forward, I think you need to tell the congregation, because I remember what you said, you don't want to go to DEFCON 5. If he goes through a year, however long he interns here, and you say, oh, by the way, Eric's been married and divorced. What? How come you didn't tell us first? It's hiding, okay? So that's my first observation, is like, Eric's a good guy. As far as I'm concerned, he doesn't meet the qualifications. And I know back when he was nominated or asked years ago, it came up and the elders said no. So I don't know what's changed. There's been a new revelation or something, but I don't want to start with Eric setting a precedent for it being okay. And if you look at it this way, we say, okay, maybe it's okay. Put yourself in this position. Let's pretend any of us, our wives divorced us, okay? And we remarried. Would you feel comfortable running for an elder, be an elder? You know, I asked myself the question. I said, I wouldn't. I mean, I don't know how you guys feel. But if I wouldn't, why should Eric feel it's okay? You know, that's my initial thoughts, okay? So that's the first thing I wanted to bring out. And again, I say things are going so smoothly right now. I hate to stir up controversy, which this will certainly do. I'm just one part of the puzzle, but I think most of the older congregation, I'm probably one of the older ones here, But most of the people over 50 will say, that's not right. And I'll say, what's changed? Well, we have a new revelation, or hey, we think it's different now. And it's like, what's different? Why did it change? So I think you're looking for possible arguments and controversies going forward. And again, if you say, Eric, you should start attending the meetings, I think before you do that, you say to the congregation, by the way, Eric's been married and divorced, and then see how many are for him. Because I think you'd hear a lot. Because I don't think most people know Eric, know he's been married and divorced, okay? So that's what I'll start with. And Keaton, you can take it from there. And then I got some other stuff, but go ahead.
I like Eric, and I remember going to Chicago with him on a bus to get married.
Yep. So we all did that. We almost got killed. That bus driver was crazy.
Yeah.
No seatbelts.
Huh?
No seatbelts.
Yeah. So there's no, hard feelings or anything like that before for Eric. But he does say things that rub people the wrong way. For instance, a couple of years ago, my son Matthew and his daughter was at Dick's Sporting Goods, and Eric was there with his daughter. And so Eric came up to Matthew and said to his daughter, said, you see this guy here? He's the stupidest guy you'll ever meet. And said that and just walked away.
And who was he talking about?
Matthew, talking about Matthew, and his daughter was there with him. Yeah. And so, things like that, Matthew will never forget it, and his daughter will never forget it, because it was just why he said it, I have no idea. And so that was just a remark that should never, ever been made in front of his daughter, in front of Matthew's daughter, and why he would say that, I have no idea. But it kind of indicates to me that, there is no, I'm not sure. Because I just, I can't even comprehend it. And the other thing that I couldn't comprehend, and a lot of you was sitting around the table downstairs when we, met with Eric, and the thing with Nathaniel and Shelley and everything, and he indicated that, I'll just write a letter to her and say that she's not welcome to the small group anymore. And I know y'all remember it because that's what he said. And so he didn't do that because I think there was a few of us said, that is not the right thing to do. But just his thinking process and everything doesn't seem like where a leader, what they would do in a case like that. And so those are the two things. There's other things that go way back when. There's no need to bring anything like that up. But those two things that I just thought, hey, Eric, you just don't talk like that. And so I was just really disturbed. And for my son, Nathaniel, he'll never come back to this congregation, most likely, because of all the things that went on and all that. And so he's been hurt, and that's been 2 years, and he's, so that not only hurts him, it hurts me. And so those things like that are, it sticks with you. You can forgive and everything, but you don't forget. And I, it's just hard, and so. I think sometimes he says things without thinking, or, just not, his thought pattern is just not where it should be, I don't think, you know. So that's the thing that I see that I wouldn't really, you know, advocate for him to be an elder. And so that's where I'm at.
Okay. And so other points, if you want me to make them, if not, that's fine too. If you've heard enough, that's okay with me. I think Eric's got some different ideas on theology than a lot of us do. My wife has been upset with them. She's had conversations with things that she holds true that the Bible says this happened, and her talking with Eric, he says, that's just kind of a story to, like, my wife says, no, that's, and I don't know exactly. My wife didn't want to elaborate. For my wife to say something is, my wife is really quiet, for those of you who don't know her.
Yeah.
But for her to say something like that, there was substance to it. But she says, Eric, that's, it's not a story. That's true. But something else that went along with that, I guess it was last year, the year before, Spencer, who's going to be a minister, he's studying, and Hadley were down there, and I think Cohen was too at Camp Neotes. And Spencer came back and told me, he says, Grandpa, you're not going to believe what Eric was saying. I says, what? He says there's no hell. And he's teaching the kids that. I says, what? He says, I'm flabbergasted. He said, I couldn't believe what I heard. And I think Ross's son was down there, too, and says something. Has anybody heard that? Am I the only one that Spencer told it? And he said, from whoever he told us, says, Eric's not supposed to be able to teach at camp anymore. And it's like, what are we doing? I mean, I couldn't believe my ears. But Spencer says, I didn't know what to say. He says, that's ridiculous. So between my wife and Spencer telling me those two things, that was something else. Now, going along kind of what Keaton said, again, I know Eric pretty well. Eric was a salesman for me, and Eric is no loss for words. In fact, I consider Eric an influencer. There are people who make things happen, people who say, what happened? You know, Eric's not one that sits back. He generally initiates things, which is good in some parts, but it's not necessarily in a good way. I wasn't part of this situation when Jeremy was wanting to stick around and be the youth minister. And I know Eric was, for whatever reason, campaigning down at camp big time for anybody else, but not Eric, but not Jeremy. And when Nathan was chosen, my daughter left along with four or five other young families, and we were almost leaving too. They were so mad. They said, we had a committee, and we all said, keep Eric. And I wrote the names. I said, Jenny, who was all that? And she said, the Beechams and the Munoz and them and the Earnhardt. She says, they were just mad. They felt betrayed. And I said, what do you attribute that to? Well, Eric was right in the middle of all this thing. It's like, and I don't know if Eric said this, but I don't want Jeremy to be here or I'll be gone. I don't know if it was an ultimatum or not. I don't know how that came down. I didn't have kids in that, but my kids had kids involved. So I just kind of sat back and watched. And when those four or five families left, I go, well, that's great. So what do we accomplish by this? So, again, I think Eric was at the center of that situation. And then I don't know all the details, Keaton, and what the one thing you're talking about, but I know Eric's small group accused Nathaniel's friend, Shelley, of not having cancer. and they called the doctors. They were posing as doctors, or, and it's like, what? And these are the people in Eric's group. I mean, it was like a conspiracy. It's like, what are you people? What is it to you if she does or doesn't have cancer? Why make this woman's life miserable? And it's like, I would distance myself so far from that. And his small group was the center of that. It's like, man. So anyway, I'm thinking if Eric is an elder and he's an influencer, I'm afraid it wouldn't take much for him to steer the congregation in a wrong direction somewhere down the road. I'll probably be gone by then, but I hate to put a crack in the wall, in the door, in the dike, and let it get bigger. And I count Eric as a friend. I don't count him as an elder. And this isn't an ultimatum, but I can tell you that my wife and I won't be here if Eric is. If Eric's an elder. Mm-hmm. So we can't serve under him. I hate to say that, but it's true. So, unfortunately, I want to stay here with all my heart. I do. I mean, I'm fully invested here. My daughter and my wife wanted me to leave a couple of years ago when all that happened because they were so mad. I said, I'm going to stick around and see what happens. And I look around, things are going great. And I'm happy, and you're doing a great job, and everything's honky-dory. Now Eric's going to be an elder. I go, nope, can't do that. So that's my view, okay? And if you have questions, you fire away, or me or Keaton, but I'm just speaking from my heart, and I don't like controversy. Believe me, it'd be the easiest thing for me to say, let him be an elder. But I said, I told Keaton yesterday, I said, I can't hardly sleep at night. I'm thinking about this. I don't want to lambast him. I don't want to say negative things, but I have to tell you what I know and what I believe. And I hope it doesn't hurt Eric's feelings, but he knows he's been up for this before and been turned down. So that's why I ask, is Eric the one coming forward to say, I want to be an elder? Because I know that's what he said before. Like, nobody really nominated him. He just said, I want to be an elder. It's like, well, generally, people know you in by your actions and say, you epitomize what an elder is, and you're kind of known by that. So that's kind of how Keaton and I became elders. I wasn't necessarily aspiring to be one. I can remember when they were reading off all the qualifications, my son poked me and he says, Dad, that sounds like you. I said, well, what can I do if my kids tell me that? So anyway, that's all I have to say about it. Keaton, anything else you want to add?
Not really. About Shelley, because a couple of years we went through that. She just got back from Anderson Hospital down in Houston. And the hospitals here says they can't do anything as far as operations because they think the cancer would spread throughout her body. There, they're saying that they think they can do the operation there and maybe keep it from spreading. And so I think in January she's going to go and see if they can do that, you know. So that's kind of an update on her, you know, and which is better than what we had anticipated, you know.
Well, you know, Steve and Keaton, I very much appreciate you guys sharing. And you know, it's not for the elders to pick the elders. You know, the church has to bring these people forward, and we need to hear this stuff. And it's better to hear it early than have them sitting in here for a year and then, you know, this coming up later. And so, you know, we need to really talk through this and you know, understand, you know, if Eric, he has unique characteristics, and you've explained some of those. But, I guess, Steve, you know, one of the things we're also thinking about is there's other men like Chris Fuller, you know, a great guy, you know, but I think, you know, not from a traditional marriage. And, you know, there's people like him we looked at. It's like, man, that guy just such a giver, such a server. Yeah. And he's one of those guys we just pray about and send, and you know, we just want to make sure, And again, I don't know, maybe we'll talk to you later, you know, about guys like that, but we just don't know, you know, if we had to look at these all individually or, you know, for you, if it's pretty much anything that's not a traditional marriage,
well,
you know, it'd be...
here's the thing that I guess the where I draw the line. I mean, I don't want to squelch Eric's gifts. He can do whatever he's been doing. He can teach and he can do whatever else, but I don't want Eric to be in a position of authority where he can make or change or influence the eldership. I mean, he can stay what he's doing, but right. To put him in a position of leadership is one thing. I mean, to let him do his normal thing, it's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, I hold the eldership to a higher standard than their traditional member. Not that there's clergy and laity,
right.
But the Bible says it. I mean, I didn't make it up. So.
We did do our own study of the eldership and looked at all the different qualities and things because we knew this would be an issue.
Yeah.
And our conclusion from the study was that in Timothy and Titus, as opposed to the traditional view that that's an absolute hard and fast, that it's describing the candidate as a one-woman man. And did he have to be that his entire life, or is that who he is today? And in compared to the other qualifications, so many of those were things that we didn't have to be our entire life. I didn't have to be a parent my whole life. I didn't have to be married my whole life. I didn't have to be a person of integrity and good repute my entire life. Is that who I am now as a candidate? I can make mistakes. Whereas this one is like only one marriage throughout. And that seemed to stand out. Just to give you some of the grounds,
sure, I understand
that we're not lightly letting go of what has been a traditional view.
Well, you can look
and
at
so
that.
I wanted you guys to...
What if Eric was married, or not any of us, married 5 times and divorced 5 times? Hey, I only got one wife. What if he was married 10 times?
Right. Agreed.
Hey, I only got one wife. Yeah. Hey, wait a minute.
And we also did not want to get to where we were parsing the details of the divorce. Well, was it adultery?
Yeah.
Oh, that's excused. Or was it before he was a Christian, or the wife wasn't a Christian? Those kind of things.
Yeah.
We thought, look, that's not worth slicing and dicing.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have that much guidance. It's got, what is the gist of it?
Yeah.
And so I hear you in terms of...
I understand.
There are lines there that we
sure.
have to discern. And so I wanted to give you guys that context.
Sure.
That we... And then I appreciate the feedback that maybe we weren't as direct in... We thought that elders class was going to address the notions of things and make sure... You know, maybe we weren't direct enough, and you feel like more direct is going to be needed.
Well, yeah, if we haven't dissuaded you about Eric, I think you owe it to the congregation and to Eric before he attends one meeting to say, for those of you who don't know, Eric's been married and divorced.
Okay.
I mean, because...
I guess on that point, one of the things, and I understand where you're coming from, but what I struggled with is... So I didn't grow up in the church. I became a Christian at university. And
well,
I didn't
same
want
as me.
And I didn't want people to stand up and say, here's who Brett was. And you know, did he have sex before marriage? You know, did he do drugs and all this? I mean, there's, you know, point out all my sins, you know. And thankfully, they didn't do that. Now, it's not like we were trying to hide anything, but, you know, I didn't want to do that to anybody. So I guess kind of that's where I was coming from with it, just knowing my background. I wouldn't want anybody to do that. I mean, if anybody asked me, I'd be open and honest with them, but I didn't want to, you know, just lay all that out.
But for those who know Eric and those who don't,
yeah.
The ones who know Eric are going to say, how come he's even considered? The other ones are going to say, what? I didn't know about it.
Yeah.
And then we're DEFCON 3.
Yeah.
Okay. So Keith and I learned, if you're not up front with the congregation, the word will spread.
Yeah.
And then it's like, why didn't you tell us? Well, we wanted to play it down. We have a new idea about this. Where'd that come from? You know, we read a book. How many elders have been divorced before? None. Eric's the first one, you know.
I mean, you know, what, 3 years ago we went through this, the whole thing, and talked about it and everything. And, you know, we can talk about it and everything. Not necessarily we all agree.
Yeah.
You know, on that, you know. And those are, you know, hard.
And I would say, on Eric's behalf, as I spoke to him a little bit, you know, I think a few of us did talk to him about, you know, some people thought you'd be a, you know, elder candidate, and we talked, and he said, yeah, I'd like to do that. However, I don't want this to be contentious. And so he knows that this may be a lightning rod issue, and he says, you know, this isn't a hill I think he wants to die on. So anyway, I appreciated that. And I think, you know, if we raise a trial balloon and it's already getting shot down, you know, I think, you know, it's great to hear your input. But again, I just want to give props to Eric, too, because he said, hey, the last thing he wanted to do when he was talking to me, I don't know, he mentioned the other guys, but he said, I don't want this to be a sticking point in the congregation.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Because I think in the past, I don't think it was that. And I could be speaking out of school, but I think he really, really wanted it, was really upset when he, but that's, I think he's matured then. So I think that's great.
I also want to share with you guys, sorry about taking up more time, and a couple more details that might be healing that I hope will be helpful. With the Shelley situation in a small group, that was really hard, and appreciate, you know, that's still a wound. Do be aware that when we learned someone in that group did pose as someone else trying to get the scoop, that I approached Eric very directly about that, had a really good conversation, and he dealt with that with the member of that group, and achieved repentance and communication of that sorriness that they did that was out of bounds and should not have ever happened. He was very, he was the shepherd of the group in that moment when that was learned. And so that was very helpful to realize. And you guys probably never got wind of that, right, that was ever addressed properly, but we were satisfied that it had been. And then the other mention was the youth group committee being so divided. That, too, that is a red flag. And the way that played out, I think we're still learning lessons from that. And we did meet individually with every member of that committee to get their scoop and their discernment. And we understood the division. It was a very divided committee. And so it's not like it was 90% one way and 10% and the 10% won. And so that was just hard to navigate. We made our own mistakes and lost some really good members from that. And so, Eric was part of that. And so we hear you in that. But we also involved ourselves very much in the decision that was made ultimately. And it's been very comforting to see Nathan flourish in his role. And you know, ultimately, and yeah, we lost some families and that's hard, but the youth group is doing very well, and that's,
yeah, that's great.
Ultimately, I think God got us where he wanted us to be, so I hope that context is helpful to hear as well.
Sure.
That it doesn't, oh, the chips fall where they may. We really tried hard on that, so.
Yeah. One other thing, you know, I've got, you know, my family, my kids, you know, my mother-in-law and all this, you know, I don't want, I mean, to leave or anything like that. And I would not leave because of one thing. But, you know, if my kids and stuff were to leave and everything, that would be hard. You know,
sure.
To know what,
yeah,
how to handle all of that circumstances.
Yeah, that's understandable.
And so it just makes it difficult.
I know.
Keith, can I ask you a question?
Uh-huh.
Your granddaughter is going to come up for discussion this evening. Anything you want to share with us?
Well, I've talked to Chris about that, and he thinks that it's the battles that he's got to fight. He's not fighting those battles. I mean, he's been through them without her totally leaving and not having any contact or anything. And I think he says that's a battle that he decided that he's not going to fight at this point, you know, in his life. He don't want to separate her from the whole family, and because she probably would leave and not have any communication whatsoever. I mean, that's my...
And not fighting the battle means not telling her she can't do that or something like that? Or
yeah, he's he knows that it's wrong. He's talked to her about it, and but it's a battle that he didn't want to fight.
Yeah.
It's difficult.
Oh.
I mean, what do you do? I was thinking about it. If it was one of my kids, it's my grandkid.
Yeah, yeah.
And she, you know, back, you know, in high school, she dated, you know, guys and stuff and didn't think anything of it, you know. But, you know, Brentwood High School was very pushing that thing,
lifestyle.
They hired a guy that was director of, you know, the plays and all this stuff, and he was gay and stuff. And so we went to a play that they had two girls kissing on stage in front of the whole audience and everything. And so, you know, I've tried to talk to her, but she doesn't want to hear what we have to say.
No.
Yeah. And so, you know, I know if, you know, if anything is said and everything, it'll be, you know, they will separate, you know, the family and all that. So that's a hard one. And I know she knows how we feel, you know. And so we've just been not, you know, she's got a ring and all this stuff, you know. And she, you know, we've had dinner with her and stuff, and she knows our feelings about the whole circumstances. And she really doesn't put it in our face as much as she does other people. So that one, I'm absolutely not sure, you know, how to handle that, you know. So whatever y'all do, I'm glad I'm not here.
Well, ultimately, because we've been talking about that issue, you guys know that for a long time, and feel like it's upon us. And Jesus let people come to him that lots of the religious establishment were uncomfortable with. And we want this to be a place where people can come and learn and be introduced to God and learn what he wants from them. And so as far as attending here, I don't imagine us asking them not to. Keep, you know, let the Holy Spirit convict them and such. My sons come and they live with their girlfriends, and it's so parallel. They understand where I'm coming from and what I've tried to influence, but I'm not gonna end a relationship with them over that sin. But I do want the door to be open for them to keep learning about God and be comfortable coming here when they're here. And so I see that as parallel. But the opportunity to get married in the building, for example, isn't there. I don't know if they're aware of that or a request would be coming.
I wouldn't think they would.
That would be understood.
Yeah.
So I think, am I describing things fairly?
I hope so.
No, not just that, but even to, what, you know, be here, and, yeah, you know, welcome to attend and learn about God with us, and look for the conviction that relationship will bring about.
Yeah.
And she, they have a legal contract with the state of Missouri for partnership rights. That's the way I'm viewing marriage, same-sex marriage.
She
now
has not been baptized. She's the only kid, you know, of the family that has not. And so, you know, we're trying to, you know, work through that, yep, and talk to her. And her cousin from Texas may come and go to school here at SLU to be a lawyer also. And so I'm hoping she would have some influence on that too. So we just don't know where that's going.
I appreciate your input.
Again, thanks so much, guys.
Hey, thanks for your time, guys.
Yeah, Don, yeah, would you just say a quick prayer for our decision in all this?
Sure. Father, we want to totally surrender to you in all things and just beg your spirit to be among us and to give us wisdom and insight in all things. I'm so grateful for Steve,
yes,
and Keaton,
yes,
just being here. You're such dear brothers and have served you so relentlessly for so long. And their families are so important to this body, and we're so grateful for their love for you. We appreciate their openness and honesty tonight, and I hope that they felt like they've been heard, and I just pray that you'll give us wisdom as we move forward to know the right things to do as we consider leadership here at McKnight Crossings, and we want your will to be done and not ours.
Yes.
And
yes.
Thank you again for this time to be together, and we love you, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, thanks, guys.
One thing, you know, we have a whole lot of confidence in you guys, you know, and I want you to realize that.
I appreciate that. Yep.
All right,
thank you. Okay,
thank you. Be safe out there.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's easing up.
Yeah, hopefully. You're done by 8 o'clock now.
Yeah, okay.
You just blew up my agenda.
See y'all.
I'll go down with you.
Oh, no, I'm parked up here.
You can go to level 3.
Yeah.
That was good. So I guess, you know, the second part of that is, okay, given that information, you know, what do we do? You know, is that enough information to really kind of put a pause on Eric? Or, and then if so, you know, how do we communicate that? And
I mean, we're aware, you know, Eric's not perfect, but he's got a lot of strength and felt like he met the qualifications. I appreciate the wounds. I'll describe them as wounds that these guys describe. They've got a very long history. Mm-hmm. And the first round, we didn't think the congregation was ready to deal with the divorce and issue. And so now we felt like we were going to make them ready. And how pervasive do we feel like this opinion, these guys are close enough to voice it. We have not gotten questions and feedback from the body, you know, from anybody else. And so how pervasive do we feel like this perspective is? Or is this somewhat, you know, narrow, is my response to what I just heard?
For the older people, I think you're going to set some people off.
What's that?
For the older people, you're going to set them off. I'm not shocked at all. And, you know, as you know, I was opposed initially. And, I remember when my daughter, she was one of Eric's kids that he, we talked about this, and she said, when we were reading some scriptures about, for the qualifications for an elder, she said, well, Daddy, does that mean that Eric can't be a elder? And I said, well, what do you think? She said, well, it doesn't seem fair. I said, well, honey, sometimes God has ways of making things happen that, you don't do it for like one person just because you like them. And I really feel that Eric has campaigned, and especially working with the youth, trying to influence them tremendously. And I have seen in, my own children how much influence he's had. And I wish we could get people to see the fact that there's only one source of authority, and that's Jesus Christ. And if you really, I think, were divorced, and I think what Steve said was so true, that I wouldn't dream of saying, well, there's a way to work around this because now I'm married and I've got a wife. That's just, it seems so out of character for somebody, but I've seen it with people whose children have joined the LGBTQ community, and it's suddenly like, oh, my kid's there, I've got to support them, and all of a sudden, that's okay. And I think that's how Satan works. Eric can do anything he wants in this church but be an elder. But that's not enough. And I truly believe other people left because of that issue. They don't see us as elders have authority, and people get, what did the apostles do? They argue over who is the greatest. And Jesus said, you want to be great, you're going to be the least. And that's why I think the priesthood of all believers really needs to be structured so that people see, people like Chris, you're talking about, wonderful person. I want him to feel like he can do anything in this church that he feels God calls him to do. And it doesn't make him lesser just because he doesn't have one wife. That's not a, for 2,000 years, we've, the churches that mainline, I think, have, said, yeah, that's kind of the way it's supposed to be. And I particularly found it weird when Eric and
Lane
were letting people teach, like Ben's Kelly's wife, who was a new convert, and just spreading all kinds of things that have nothing to do with the New Testament. And the kids were coming back saying, who is she and what's she telling us? And, Eric was part of that. That concerns me.
I guess my question is, if we are ready for someone like Eric to be an elder based on what we've studied and understand, it doesn't necessarily mean the congregation is ready. So I'm wondering now, just the readiness of the congregation for us to bring forth someone like Eric. To your point, Brett, I understand what you're saying about exposing, your past and all the things, and this is kind of a different situation in some ways. I don't really know how to go about doing it, but if we can figure out a way where we can let the congregation know some background information, which they have the right to know that, then that'll help in my mind for me to determine, is the congregation ready for someone like Eric, given his background. I heard other things here besides. I think that was probably the predominant point, but there was other things I heard these guys say that was causing them to pause a little bit about Eric, I think the divorce was probably the main thing. And so I'm just now wondering if our congregation is ready for that person to be an elder.
So what I heard, I think, is a little bit on a different platform. So the divorce was one thing that came up, but I think character was the thing that they were really bothered by. So all Keaton didn't say anything about divorce at all. Not a single word. It was all character. And then Steve's second section was all character. And that's where it gets, so we can sort of like die on that hill to a point on getting Eric in as the divorce person. But in reality, we're choosing a bad divorce character person to put up there in front of the church. And by doing that, we are going to end up in a worse spot, I think. If we would have chose somebody like Chris or Jason Vincent, let's say, if they were still here, it would have been different. Because character-wise, they don't have those character, to a point, flaws that Eric is holding. And we all have been hurt by Eric. So I would probably say we could walk around the room and we could each have one story. And by just having one story each, that right there puts it that we all know for a fact that there's character issues. Some of them are maybe further back in the past, but some of them are pretty recent. And that's where it's sort of, we can say the divorce thing is the issue, but it's not the issue. It's the character.
It is the issue, Jeff.
It's an issue.
Yeah.
But his character flaws, I think, are overwhelmingly the bigger issue. So if we were to allow a divorced person to be an elder, his character flaws is the second one that's now sort of disqualified him.
So doesn't it strikes me as extraordinary that I'm so comfortable with Eric preaching, leading CFS, one of the core anchor ministries that this body's been about, you know, being down at Neotes, leading a small group, you know, encouraging Nathan, not contaminating Nathan. I mean, I'm comfortable with all of that. And so this disconnect with the notion of him joining us here, I did have to work beyond that, but I don't really understand it. Does that make sense? Mm. So many things he's doing that you want to see and plugged in and doing well.
He has so many great strengths. So that's one of the things that, so it's almost, if you think about a scale, you have bad characteristics, good characteristics, and the good characteristics outweigh the bad characteristics. And that's what, like for me too, I mean, I wasn't in the vote, but I did not throw up a big concern because I see the same thing that you see. I see that we allow him to teach. I see the thing about hell, I mean, it's annihilationism. I know what they're teaching on it. I know Jeff Kreider is probably on that side of the things, just as we went through the heaven thing, too. It's those things are not necessarily the biggest concern for me, but it's this scale scenario, I think, and that's where we're going to have people that, if the divorce is a big topic for them, that scale is going to be tipped already to a point where it doesn't matter. All those character traits just get piled on over there, and there's no way to push down on the good characteristics. So like Steve said, they're leaving. And most likely, Keaton will leave too as Matthew leaves. So Matthew leaves, and then, I mean, this leaves Chris and them. Which, I mean, Chris and them have a pretty good relationship, but I could see them walking away too. They're not here as often as they used to be. And so, I mean, it's just going to be that constant thing. So they're both gone. We should just consider.
So it seems I think our position's always been that we recommend somebody, but the church makes the decision. And it sounds like the church is making a decision. And maybe it's a sampling error, which is your point, but I think even if it's a sampling error, it's weighted pretty heavily on, you know, the units drawn, you know, so.
How many people know these guys were talking to us and, oh, my voice is going to be heard.
Mm-hmm. Right, but the other is if we're concerned about that, I would say that our next step would not disclose anything about Eric, but just casually bring somebody aside and say, hey, you know, Eric, you've been with a church a long time. Are you uncomfortable with this? and just ask a few people. So, okay, it's not a sampling error. You know, there's people that this gives grief to. And in the character issue, that's also one, too. But, you know, again, I don't know that we would ever want to force a candidate on the congregation. I think if we feel we need to, maybe it's like, okay, we need to maybe revisit this teaching if we don't think the congregation properly heard what we said. And so I guess where I'm at is I've heard enough to say, and again, I thought, I appreciated Eric's attitude. It's like, Eric, this is more divisive than I thought it was going to be. You know, I don't think this sits well with a percentage of the congregation. And I don't know that, although the eldership understands this position, I don't think the church is ready for it. That's kind of where I'm at with this. And you know, I don't know what you guys' thoughts are on this, but that's kind of how I would think I would recommend proceeding, given what we've heard tonight.
And maybe one step prior to that would be to sit down with Eric and just say, you know, what you said, that, you know, this has caused a little more stir than what we had expected, right. But and these were the issues that were brought forward, and just see what he says about that. I mean, he may say, okay, I've heard enough, I don't want to proceed, or might say, well, let's go to the congregation as a whole and say, you know, here are some things we want to specifically, before we start down this path, you know, we want you to consider, I guess we'd have to do with Matthew as well, just say, consider these two men, and are there any reasons why we should know now, before we even start down this path, that they would not be good candidates for an elder at some point in the future, you know? I'd hate us to do anything without at least speaking to Eric.
Well, that's what I would say, is that I would, one of us, and you know, I do it, I wouldn't like it, and I wouldn't lay out everything that was discussed. I would just, I think the divorce issue is enough, and I would probably leave it on that and not get into the character flaws, and so just see where he's at with that.
The problem with that is that by not bringing those up, it doesn't give him the ability to fix the issue.
Right, but there's two issues here. There's two issues here, and I'm not ready to get into that second one. As far as discipling Eric, which I agree with, right now I'm just looking at the eldership, but I fully agree.
The problem is that if you use that one as the example, it's only partial truth.
Correct.
And then he'll think, well, later I'll try again.
Right.
And so maybe he'll have fixed the character flaws by that point.
Right.
But if he doesn't know there's character flaws, then we have to... I think we shouldn't leave it open in, like, sort of closed ended, that it's the divorce issue.
How would you characterize the character flaws?
That's where it gets. There's other character issues that people have also expressed.
And then you'll say what?
Yeah, and that's where it'll take another time to have that conversation, right. I think.
Yeah, and the pronoun usage is difficult in that sentence, too, is. It won't be we, it will be one of us.
Yeah.
And I fully understand what you're saying. Discipleship is, that's got to be a different conversation.
So maybe it's not one, but maybe it's two.
Right.
As opposed to making it just an individual having to go do it.
Right.
But.
So I would, I mean, just, I again, my recommendation is... letting them know, hey, what we've heard, you know, that there is going to be tension in this. And, you know, just see what he says. And you know, before he was gracious, and if he's still gracious, hey, you know, if there's pushback, you know, maybe we have to, you know, revisit it. But, again, I never thought that we were ready to force a candidate on the congregation that was always going to be recommended. So,
you were going to say something. You still have that thought.
Weighing words. I do think it is important think of two things. One is I would be careful on saying pushing somebody on the congregation, because this was a small sample size.
Right.
Two people. I bristle anytime someone says, I will be gone if, because that's not how we work to bring unity, to stay in old world. I always tell people when they say that, let's back up and choose those words carefully, you know, what we're actually saying. You know, I'll leave if I've had time to talk to Eric and da-da-da, you know, if we've tried to and then nothing happens. But to just say, I'll leave if, that's hard for me to hear from someone. That being said, I do think, you know, I hate using the word character, Eric can come off harsh sometimes in the way he speaks. Mostly he's speaking abruptly. Sometimes he's being funny and it's not caught on. You know, that was one of the questions I wish I had asked Keaton in the time was, did they ever seek to talk to Eric about that moment, or did they just leave it hanging like that? Because that's an open-ended conversation, meaning we don't know what actually happened.
Eric was trying to make a joke. It was easy.
That's what I would assume, too. Which, again, if Eric was given the chance to talk, reconciliation, like you were mentioning, could have happened possibly. But I do think it is interesting, like you said, that everyone does have a story of when Eric has done that. And, you know, even today, I don't remember who I was talking to, but it was said, you know, I think he could do some good things for the eldership, but I also think he'll butt heads. And that was my one thought was, how many people are thinking, but he'll also butt heads, and is that something that needs to be thought out? But there's my two cents.
I can tell you his group has said things like, well, when Eric becomes an elder, you know, we're going to be able to change things.
How recently?
So here we are again, you know, you're going to offend somebody.
And that's why I think it's important to, Jeff said, if regardless, because I don't want to die. I would on, you know, this hill. But I want it to be a, let's not hide behind just the divorce thing. Because if Chris or somebody else was made an elder later, that shows the dishonesty in that conversation of that there is more than just that. I realize that's a hard conversation, and that's a trying to find the right words on how to say it. But if you think disqualification at this time is a part of that, I think you have to lay everything out, not just a piece of it. Because I agree with Jeff. I think that it was more of how he talks to people sometimes and the way he's rallied people than it was the divorce. Especially with Keaton, at least.
That's kind of what I was feeling, too, that if we just let it be the divorce thing, because I don't really think it is just the divorce thing. I mean, we were very clear.
And I don't disagree. I just don't know what that means. My conversations with Eric, I like Eric. You know, we see things differently, but I like Eric. I cannot have that conversation with him. I mean, I could tell him third hand, you know, I heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from, you know, Bob's neighbor. And it's like, well, I don't like that for this type of a conversation. I know him well enough that I can look him in the eyes and say, this is bad news. You know, the congregation's not ready for a divorced man. But the other conversation, I'm not ready. I guess given my place with Eric, I just don't know how I would do that.
I had coffee with Eric earlier this year because I think I told you guys I needed to clear the air with him, and he had some things against my brother and it was a really good conversation, and it swayed me, you know, helped me come around. But he was very upfront that he knows he rubs some people the wrong way, and that there are folks that he's a bit oil and water with, and that's just kind of his nature. He's not trying to be that or doesn't care that that's the case. I don't, that's not what I heard from him, but he is aware. And so I do think we can communicate that we got enough feedback that the divorce issue for some, and interactions with you from others or something like that, wounds. And I addressed him directly, at, you know, the Shelley cancer thing with his small group was bothersome to me. But again, the separate conversation about that that had happened earlier was really helpful, where he really did handle that well and address, hey, the person that made that phone call pretending to be a doctor and all that, inappropriate, and receive confession, and, you know, that was all what you want to hear happened, and then we didn't have to do it, kind of a deal. And so that was really good. And then the whole youth group, we talked through the division of the youth group and loss of families, and he was in the middle of that too. And, you know, we talked through, he convinced me he wasn't trying to be manipulative and pull these strings to make what he wanted happen. That was my observation. That was really what I told him it seemed like to me. And he was very direct about that. And so that also helped me. And so was he saying what I wanted to hear? It didn't seem like it. And so anyway, an awareness on his part, I think his eyes are open, that there, he does a lot and there are some wounds, and maybe that's terminology we can use.
Well, you're using that.
As well as the divorce issue isn't behind us.
But you're using that same ambiguous plural pronoun, we. So that's right there. So who's picking that up?
Well,
this we.
I'm wondering if it's appropriate for him to join us at a meeting. We were going to invite him to be here at this table. And so can we have that conversation with him? So we all hear what's said. And
I can have that conversation with him. I'll volunteer for it.
Does it feel healthier that from one person, or simpler or less threatening to him? Or
I have lunch with Eric, you know, pretty often, and we communicate. We don't agree on things, but, you know, we love each other.
Okay.
And he and I have battled this out in the past, and he says, I'm wrong. I said, okay. You know, I said, you know, your side doesn't make any sense based historically on what I understand, but, you know, we still love each other.
Okay.
And so I have no problem. I mean,
well, I appreciate the relationship you have with him, because I don't want to wound him. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to get in the way of the good side of the ledger.
If Brett, you want to give me a, you know, something you want said, give it to him. I'll deliver it. I have no problem with that.
Okay. Just a thought. I just think, just hearing it from one of us, though.
I think two is better, and maybe three even.
I think it would be hard for Brad to take it, the message, and for it to sound like it's from us if you've had those discussions with him in the past and you disagree. It's almost as if it's coming straight from you, and now you've made a ruling because you're now the head elder. That's what he'll see.
Yeah.
Because now you're the oldest. Yeah. Because by that point, Dom will have already stepped down.
He'd still be the oldest.
Yeah.
How far back I go with him.
But I know. So, and that's the reason why I think it would be really hard for him to accept it as anything other than you've overruled everybody else. And so,
we want to make sure that's
we don't want that to happen.
Right.
We want
it even to be, regardless, I think a decision like this, two elders at least, makes sense.
And maybe the preacher.
Hey, I am fine with that. No one likes confrontation.
I mean, but just, you can sit there and listen if you want. You don't have to say a
word. I'm good at that.
Don and Steve, what do you guys think?
I like the idea of us going to him and talking to him. And the more I hear this conversation, I think if we can be as open and frank with him as possible, I think that would be the appropriate thing to do. So he can, because that way he's hearing what we heard. In my mind, in a bit, the character issue was a thing for sure. But I think that was, also heard that was used in a way to maybe even justify more what they was really thinking. I think his big issue was the divorce.
That's my how
See,
I took it.
Was, his big issue was the divorce. And because he said, I'm done, I can be done. if you guys want me to, I can leave, you know. And so, so he didn't feel a real need to talk about the character issue as much, but, you know, but Keaton definitely, I kind of anticipated he was going to be a character because of what happened with Shelley and a small group. And so that part I wasn't surprised on, but I think two elders going to him seems an appropriate way to address it, because as one is talking to another, could be making observations and figuring out how to, you know, and also engage with them. And so, because when it's just one, sometimes it's, you're thinking about how you want to respond while he's talking, and you're, it just doesn't always go as well as it should. But if you got somebody there that's kind of there, and also they're with you, and they can make some observations and kind of take a secondary role and help out, I think that might be a good way to address it with them.
Would you be willing to be one of the we?
Yeah. Yeah. Whenever your routine lunch is with them, maybe is a time to try to see if I can join you.
You want to have a third one? Let Andrew just listen. So, okay. Go.
What are you guys' thoughts on that? I mean, again, I think Andrew's a good guy, but, you know, he's got shallow history, and you know, I don't know that he's got a dog in the fight. You know, I know.
And I kind of feel like two's good, three might be a little overwhelming, you know, too, I think, you know.
Yeah.
I think two's.
And I would, I mean, it doesn't have to be tomorrow, but it'd be nice if we could get it sometime this month, because it'd be nice if we, you know, can start with whomever next year in January, with Matthew or whomever. Yeah, I appreciate it, and you know, just be doing a lot of praying about that, and you know, again, the
what's Saturday look like for you, Dave?
I'm sorry?
Saturday
look like for you?
I've got a 3:00 commitment Saturday, but lunch I'm free.
Okay. I can't do it before Saturday, unfortunately. I'm booked. But I can certainly call him and see what his schedule, you know.
Okay.
Appreciate you guys doing that. Mm-hmm. And I'll be praying about it. That's a hard one.
Well, if you've got any words of wisdom, you just want to write them down.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Then the other part of it will be what the congregation finds out. We have a congregational meeting this coming Sunday. So
maybe nobody will ask any questions. We don't have to say anything.
Yeah.
I can go get some donuts this week and have donuts again. But, I mean, so that's going to be the piece of it that'll be, because we've already announced it. So that's where sort of then letting the congregation
know. Like we announced Ross was sitting in with us, correct, and then a long time later he bowed out. We didn't announce that ended.
Yeah.
It just didn't go anywhere. That was okay. So I don't know if this could be treated that way. Or
that would be my thought. Yeah, no harm, no foul.
As opposed to an announcement.
Yeah.
And he can share with folks as he sees fit. I'm sure Ross did, but
all right.
That's kind of my thought too.
Okay. Try to reach out to him tomorrow and see what his schedule allows, and I'll get back to you as quick as I can.
Okay. That sounds good.
All right, that's heavy part of the meeting, but good to hear this up front. You know, really difficult if Eric were sitting doing this for several months and then we get to this point. So let's move into people. Autry's not here to pray. McGlon, would you pray at the end of this? Great. And I tried to precede it with some of the stuff that I knew was going on, and I know Peggy came in to talk to the elders before church, and you know, Don, I don't know if you know what's going on with that situation. Just seems like she just needs a lot of prayers, and I'm guessing you're following up with her. And,
yeah. pretty constant contact with her.
Yeah. And I don't know where her grandson is and everything, but I just have been praying about that. Not that I know a lot of what's going on, but
it's going to be
right.
Continuous.
Right. So I really appreciate you doing that.
I mean, Peggy just takes on a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and she just, and she's like the rest of us, not getting any younger and
right.
a lot of stresses. But.
And Mr. Walker, been praying about your cancer and don't know if you got any news or you're still kind of just going through the process.
Yes, still going through the process. I'm going to get a second opinion on Wednesday.
Okay.
And still going through some testing. And on next week, the 10th, meeting with the hematologist that did the diagnosis, and we're going to discuss a treatment plan.
Great.
Developing symptoms or anything more?
I don't think so. You know, your mind can play tricks on you sometimes. I don't think so. The one that's probably that's due fatigue a little bit late in the afternoons or late mid-evening, I start getting a little more fatigued than normal. So it starts slowing down a bit. So. Okay. But other than that, I think I'm okay.
Thank you, brother. Mary Ellen Reed, so... You know, she needs a ride.
Gary Merritt gives her a ride most Sundays to church and has voiced the desire, can we get a group effort going, and doesn't know who else might need rides. Carrie doesn't want to be the organizer and coordinator, but she'd rather be in a rotation. So I thought I'd bring it up to you guys and how much of that. I mean, I use a church van and pick up some folks. That's not going to make sense for Mary Ellen. I don't know who else is giving rides or needs rides, and it just seems like a ministry opportunity there, and not sure the best way forward. We did get the scoop on Mary Ellen's needs, and
Dave found out, so she's fairly mobile. She can get in and out of the car, you know, mm-hmm. so she just really needs a ride and somebody just to kind of walk with her.
So much lifting, but steadiness.
Yeah, so I asked Michelle to bring it up. She's got her ladies' class on Tuesdays, and there's a lot of widows. Hey, you guys... You know, she doesn't need help, but, you know, if you guys got a car, you know, if you'd be willing to do that and work a rotation. So we'll see what kind of feedback, you know, she gets, but, you know, hopefully they'd be willing to pitch in. And
good.
I'll let you know.
So I had an idea. What if we paid Uber?
So Uber won't walk to the door with you?
They won't?
No, generally not. Mm-hmm. So they would pick her up at her driveway curb or whatever, but yeah. So that would be the question of if she can get up and down, because I think Carrie was saying that there's steps. And so that could be the only concern.
I deal with transportation of folks with disabilities, and so technically she needs a door-to-door service, not a curb-to-curb service. Yeah. Those folks use that language. So.
Are those buses available on a Sunday?
Call a ride?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but timing-wise, you can't count on them.
Call a ride.
Being on time.
So you're down to, what, a taxi? Or even a taxi pick up somebody?
Taxi doesn't.
They're curb to curb. They won't do that.
I think it's a good thing to let people
volunteer
for. If that doesn't generate something, I think even an announcement on a Sunday morning, you know, just to say, hey, we've got some people that need rides just to church, and if you think you could do that as part of a group that's trying to do that.
I'd love to have other drivers for the route.
Kelby's
are doing that. That would be really nice. So maybe that can be a
joint announcement of we need
congregational meeting or something.
Joint bus.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
That's a good idea. The congregational meeting. Of course. Right. Again, we won't have everybody there, but
All right. Wanda Hill, her friend Sandy's been in there. She's not getting any better, so hopefully we keep praying for her.
Well, she went home. Yeah, I think so. She's doing okay.
Well, I drained 40 pounds of fluid, correct. And you know how that is with your
grandmother.
You know exactly how that is.
But she didn't realize, I don't think, what the situation was, I don't think originally.
Yeah.
And so I think she's now to the understanding.
Yeah.
And this helped her to, sometimes, even with my grandmother, she needs it every 2 years. Just end up back in the hospital, realize you can't eat what you're eating.
Right.
And you can't. So, I mean, Wanda seemed that she was doing a lot better when she got back home.
Right, but I guess the point is, hopefully we're not just praying for people that are going to die. That, you know, she asked for prayers, and so, yeah, we're going to pray. And so maybe she didn't understand the extent of it, but hopefully we're following up with Wanda. We're praying for these people and letting them know that we're – and again, the Hills, man, they're just so faithful praying for people and concerned about people. And I want to make sure that, yeah, Wanda and Alec, yeah, we're praying for your friend. And we talked about Steve Autry's brother, and it's a little worse than – I thought. Who said they think it's just going to be a couple of days?
For... Even today.
Okay, yeah.
He called me
before it was hospice.
Yeah. I thought it was pneumonia, and then I was texting him, and he said, yeah, it's not looking good. And so I...
Well, his brother's not in the best of shape to start with. So, and he talked to him today a couple times, and he said, I think this is a blessing, both for Ron and for Susan's aunt. It's just, they've just been... not doing well for a while, not getting better. So
he told me Sunday. He says, "I'm not really praying for healing. I'm praying for a less painful death. Peace.
That's good." And then Katie Benyo, you know, she's been out of work for a while, and you know, I see her occasionally. She'll come in and sing, but hopefully we're praying for her. And
she brought food to the pantry meal, and I just asked her how it was going. She said, still the same, but she says, you know, I'm kind of enjoying not working.
Yeah, but hopefully people are getting in contact with them and stuff. And Michael Cannon, I know we've talked about it before, his car situation, and I didn't know if you were helping with that or what's
going on. There
has
been a delightful development.
Okay.
Where there has been a very generous member who had a minivan available recently and made it within Michael's price range and delivered it this week. And we're working on getting that tax license and insured. And
amen.
I don't know. Maybe it won't be this coming Sunday, but maybe the next Sunday you'll drive it to church.
Amen.
And thank you to the McGlawn family for the upgraded vehicles.
Thanks, Jeff.
Fit a nice niche. So. Thank you.
That's great. And then Dave, the horns need a space, and any space, or is a specific space, or
Caleb, you know, needs constant attention, supervision, doesn't participate in the classes. And so when the weather's been nice since they placed membership, he's outside during class time, and they trade off watching him during worship. And, well, the weather's getting bad, and so some space in the building. Mm-hmm. I suggested to her to take a look at that right side nursery room as a possibility. Floated it by you. There's maybe some things in there that need to be moved out, that there's not going to be a hazard for him. But they haven't really gotten back to me, but I wanted to make sure that I could approach them again and say, hey, have you looked at that? Come on, let's, or is there other space that's better?
Is that for worship and class time both?
Pretty much, when the weather's bad, I think.
So he goes in to Kate Schneider's class whenever she's teaching, but that's like once a month. And so most of the other times he's not been going in there, and they just felt it was a better option for at least just one time. And then that gets them both free during that Sunday during worship time. But definitely that classroom is an option. There's a TV already in there, so it'd be pretty easy for us to set up something to play even the worship service on there.
Great.
So that would be an option. And we could, I mean, because currently we have it set up for whatever I called it, the
breakfast room.
A little breakfast room for the cannons and stuff like that. But they've not used it since Easter. So like around that time, like for 2 or 3 weeks right after Easter, we used it. And since then, it's been me and Steve probably eating all the bars. So that's definitely a room that's not being used to its best. And so we can definitely pull out whatever we need to pull out. And
how big of a room does it need to be?
What's that?
How big of a room does it need to be?
That's why I wanted her to look at it and consider it.
Because the prayer room is probably not used, right?
Yeah.
But we're open to having Dave follow up and offering either one of those rooms.
Those are good thoughts.
Great.
So I'll do that. And just, I want to keep, I think if we could accommodate that family, then others are going to follow, and we're going to have the
Taylor's daughters are going to get older and have needs like that, it appears, and who knows who else, that disabled children, yeah, that, definitely. You know, great. We can try to accommodate.
Just to shine some light on hope on that one, they are actually our readers for the Advent lighting Sunday, and so they're coming Wednesday and to practice.
Yeah, and so I can talk to them if you want me to.
That's what I was going to mention. We might want to just bring it up then, because I think Jeff will be here. I'll be here.
Yeah, I'm running sound for them.
Very good.
Thank you. Get together, and then I can go walk them through that. And then
who's doing the reading?
The horns.
The horns.
Oh, man.
And they were very excited. And they said they've already been practicing.
Yes.
And her daughter was Mary, is that right?
Yes.
That's what I thought. I think that's who that was. Yeah. So.
Well, not that many with that bright
red. Yeah.
And right. Their youngest son, Jack?
James,
mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Yeah, he's also on the spectrum. And he's more functional, but he tends to not go to class and stuff.
Correct.
Hovers around. They're adults. Comfortable letting him do that, I guess. So just he's know more like, what's happening there.
More like me on the Asperger side of things, though. So,
I don't know.
He went up there, and he was on stage with you, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I don't know if he ever made it on stage. I know he came back and forth twice, but because I watched the video today and saw him.
I went and talked, and I forget the reason. It was something like he didn't want to wear a mask, and that's all that was left or something by the time he got there. And, but he was fine. He didn't hurt his feelings. He went back and sat down, and he said he loved watching the whole thing. So
you did a great job herding cats there.
I didn't realize how many of the
very
kids
brave to attend.
I did not realize how many of the kids I don't recognize when I'm looking from behind because they're all facing forward. And
there was Carly and Devin.
So do you know who W.C. Fields is? I don't know if you're too young for that. You guys, he always says, "Man, never act with a kid." He was always so anyway. And then next on the list, we've got Marion Earnhardt, and I know, you know, she's been struggling, I guess, with depression, anxiety, and stuff, and trying to get her meds right. So just want to keep remembering her, just a great lady.
She's got some new meds. She's
feeling better, hopefully.
Says she's feeling better.
Okay, great.
We need to keep an eye on her.
And then we've got Lainey on here, and we kind of talked about that a little bit, and I think, Dave, you did a good job. And again, I printed out our form on that. And, you know, I think we've, you know, did a really good job just saying, hey, you know, they're welcome here. You know, we don't want to marry you. You know, we're fully committed to saying that God honors a marriage between a man and a woman, those kinds of things. But, you know, that they should be welcome here. So
I think there's a problem because a lot of stuff went out on social media, and they're, you know, celebrating the wedding, and or not the wedding, but the announcement, and that part I got problems with. I mean, if they're here to learn, that's one thing, but if they're here to spread the word of what they think, you know, and we've got younger children looking at this, that's a problem. At least it is for me. I mean, I've known Lady since she was born, and she's been on my heart in prayers this week, especially thinking, okay, Brad, maybe you need to go talk to her. And I was kind of waiting to this meeting to see what others think. But she needs to be told exactly what she's doing in a way that hopefully coming from somebody that she would, you know, think loves her. And, I mean, I've interacted with her most of her life and, you know, tried to mentor her a little bit. And, she needs to be, I think, told. And I was going to say, I'm going to use her uncle Marty as an example of, you know.
But told what? That she hasn't been told, I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, I've never said it point blank to her, but you know, I feel as an elder, I have a responsibility to say, you know, what you are doing is something that God, you know, says is not right.
But don't you, I heard Keaton say that they have been very clear with her about that.
Well, obviously, it hasn't done anything. So,
what do you want them to do?
Well, what does the Bible say?
No, you said it hasn't done anything. What would you, what results would you have accepted out of that discussion?
If she is advocating the LGBTQT, you know, for her life and holds it up as something that, you know, that's what she wants, then, you know, Paul said you go first and you take somebody second and you tell the church.
But isn't that for a brother or sister in Christ? Because Keaton just said she's not baptized.
She's not been baptized, but she has grown up here and people look at her as a person that is a member of this church.
Yeah, I struggle with this. And again, you know, it's the same thing with Eric. It's discipleship takes a relationship, and you have to know people. And so there's a lot of things you see on Facebook. And you know, some of the stuff you'll see couples that are there, you know, it's 5 o'clock somewhere and they're drinking wine, right? It's like, I don't see that as healthy. I don't see that as being beneficial, you know. And you know, when you know, at what point do you take somebody down or have a come to Jesus talk? That's what I don't know. And you know, because there's a lot of stuff that I see on social media that I just don't like at all. But you know, I at what distance, you know, can I say certain things? Now, if she was proselytizing here or you know, demanding that she be married here and things like that, you know, I think that's different. But you know, again, I don't know what our role would be. And I you know, it makes me uncomfortable, but you know, what do we do and what is our role in all of these situations?
Well, I think asking questions is the way you start, and you know, using scripture to, you know, share our point of view would be what I would do.
But I think it's just like the book we read, you know, if we don't have a relationship, that's not going to change anything. Because it's nothing she hasn't heard that the church believes. I think it's if she has a relationship with somebody like her grandfather and has heard and hasn't, yeah. You know, I don't know if anything we could say would change.
Well, if people are open and notorious about their relationships and putting it out there in the public.
So I have another question. So the culprit that I mean, let's say culprit, I'm going to use that term, and it's very, I'm not agreeing to the term. And you, using the term in the scenario that you're putting, the culprit in this is not Lainey. Lainey, they only posted one picture, and that was of her with the ring that I've seen. It was Amy that posted the thing of her and Chris being there at the ceremony, at the thing going on, smiles. So the question is, who is the one that is really the one that needs to be confronted in this situation? It's not Lainey and Amanda. It's Chris and Amy. But that we don't see probably as being really the bigger thing that we should be doing. And we heard Keaton's picture that or perspective that they don't really know what to do with it. They don't want to lose their daughter in this whole situation. But, and I think that it goes back to some of the conversations we've had from the document, that I think that today Beth and I had the conversation a little bit about it, because it's an interesting story of Jesus and the woman caught in adultery. So she was caught in a sin, and she was to be killed. There's no question. That's the Old Testament law. It says, kill the person caught in adultery. And there are other things about it. I mean, there's a guy missing.
Yeah.
but that's not the reason. He didn't say that's the reason.
Right.
He says, since you guys didn't condemn her, then I'm not going to condemn her either. And he tells her, so he sort of he's not condoning her sin.
Right.
He tells her to sin no more, but he does. He brings in a relationship situation that, hey, it's okay. We all are sinners. We all have problems. And sometimes it may put you in a different place where you may not be able to teach. You may not be able to do this or that. But we have to be careful, I think, of relationships, because I think the biggest relationship, I mean, we have to be an inviting congregation, I think, that is open to everybody. And so, I mean, you have, we have other homosexual people that go to our congregation and we don't say anything to them. There's not really any reason for us to say anything to her as a young person that is looking at faith. And then, because that was one of the things that I told Beth, I'm like, the fact is that they are coming to church knowing that her father was, or her grandfather was an elder, and that I'm sure that they've talked to her about it, and they're still coming. And not only is she coming by herself, but Amanda's coming with her, and Amanda has come by herself before. Okay. So it's sort of a positive influence that we can have on them. Whether or not they will ever change from that sin, it's just like me and my anger. It's just like me and any of my other issues that I struggle with. And am I required to change from all of them? No. I have to search for Jesus. I have to go for him, and we have to encourage them to go after Jesus in all that they do, and let him be the one that sort of puts the stone down. So it's a hard situation of confronting sin, but, and maybe it's that preacher's role that you need to be the, make it general and condemn all sin.
Again, when we went through this, I don't think we need to shy away from this when it comes up in Scripture, or, you know, whitewash it. But I don't know that we need to take a lead bar to anybody's knees either. I kind of like what you're discussing.
I think God tells me every morning, go and sin no more.
Yeah.
Amen.
And taking an action like that, to me, has much more risk than benefit. And I like what Jeff said, and I can't say any better than that, but it just does not make sense to me to go and shut somebody down when there's good that's going on. There's going to be an action that's going to happen that's going to raise an eyebrow or whatever, but like you said, Brett, it happens all the time with lots of people, you know? I mean, it's not... I think we continue to take the stand we stand on and not back from that.
Yeah, and, you know, again, I think keep praying about it, because I think you've said it, it's not going away, right? It's our culture, and so, you know, we can't hide from it, but we just got to have wisdom and kind of deal with it. So anyway, let's keep praying about that. And then the Patterson kids, and, you know, they asked us to pray for Emily, Abby, and Peter, and I really appreciate Dina's opening up about that. And, you know, I've got kids, and, man, I just want to honor that. And is there anything else? I mean, I tried to put together this, and I don't know if that's comprehensive.
It looks pretty comprehensive. There was one other thing that came up. Janice Savannah's sister died this morning.
That's what I heard, yeah.
Who's that?
Janice Savannah's sister. It sounded like it was a surprise.
Yeah.
She passed?
She did.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. She had cancer.
Yeah.
I'd also mention the Upshaws. We're again here.
The
middle-aged couple who's been coming, Tiffany.
Oh, yes, Tiffany and Dennis. Mm-hmm. And their son and one of their parents.
Her parent.
Henry.
Henry and Hank. So my wife and I had a discussion. I say that they're the same name, but she said they're not. But so, yeah.
I got a little background on them. Sunday, they faithfully tended Central Prez.
Was that where they were?
For like 15 years or something. They said they got married there, all their kids were baptized there, and evidently very active there. But what I didn't find out, he made a statement about, we came to a theological parting of ways there. And he didn't say any more about it, and I didn't ask any more about it, but I was talking to Jeff Kreider later, and he thought it might have been over the LGBTQ issues, you know, and so forth. So evidently a very active, very spiritual family. I talked to Henry, and he says, you know, he's really found a group at Mizzou that he's a part of that has really been increasing his faith. So they look like a great family. So I hope they – I just asked her, how'd you come about coming to see us? You know, she says, well, when we decided to leave Central, I just got on the internet and tried to see what churches were near and you guys were near and looked on your website and liked what we saw. And she says, and I got to tell you, she says, this is the most friendly place I've ever been as far as the church goes, you know.
Wow, great.
And I said, well, good, I'm glad to hear that. And I said, well, we're just really glad you're here. She says, oh, yeah. She says, we'll be back. And so I think they're a good.
All right.
Good potential. They do mission work in Honduras.
Yeah, my wife
very
really.
Very passionate about that.
Clicked in with that.
Yeah, she is, particularly. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and that's where she was at.
Yeah.
Last week. Yeah. So, Jeff, do you want to pray for us?
Yeah. And you also have the Kellys on here as they are moving.
Oh, yeah,
Illinois.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right, God, we thank you for this day, and there's just so many things on this list. We just lift them all up to you, God, for Peggy and just the whole situation going on with her family, for Mary Ellen Reed and just her, and there's others around, God, that are just struggling to get to church and needing rides, and we just ask your blessings on the plans of how that will all turn out and letting people be able to be of service to them. God, for Steve Autry and the whole family as they are dealing with Steve's brother and his Susan's aunt and just the things that are going on there and the end-of-life trials that happen. For the Cannons, we thank you for their blessing, and we thank you for just all that they can do, you know, being able to move around and not be just sort of stuck at home. For Marion and her anxiety and just the new meds, we ask you to just bless her.
Mm-hmm.
For Lainey and Amanda, God, we know that there are just things going on with them as they search and they're looking for you, God. We ask you to help us to be examples to them and to help us to know how to be with them and talk to them and encourage them to look for you.
Amen. Amen.
God, for Steve, we just ask your blessings on him and his healing. We ask your blessings on all the treatment that he has. For Sandy and her treatment as well, and then her whole situation of her heart and it working right, God, we just ask your blessings on her. For Katie Bigno and her work situation, we ask you to help her to really enjoy the time that she has off, but also just as she was looking for places not to get too overwhelmed by that, and opening up a place for her. For the Kellys, we are glad that they have come back and visited, and we ask you to bless them and their new location in Illinois
as
they find a new place to stay. For the Horn family, God, we are so glad to have them with us, and we're so glad, and we just ask for blessings on Caleb and on James and on as they try to fit in and try to find a place, and we try to build a place for them, God. And finally, the Pattersons, God, we lift them up to you and just the struggles that they've had in over the last couple of years, and the kids, and we just ask you to bless them, and we just thank you for their time that they got to spend together here in Thanksgiving, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right. I don't think we're going to get this back on track, but there's some things we still need to talk about. So the congregational meeting, Walker and Weiler, I don't know if you guys have kind of plotted that out a little bit.
A little bit. A couple of things have changed since we plotted it out.
As it always is.
This meeting, as a matter of fact, because the very first item you see on the agenda. First of all, what we're going to do is kind of like a state of things, have kind of left side of the ledger, things that are going well, right side of the ledger, things that are challenging, and then a picture of moving forward, some of the vision things that we have for the future moving forward. So that's the approach we're taking. And so one of the things, and this is not necessarily in the order we're going to work through these things, we're just brainstorm some of these ideas. And so the very first thing on there is already been modified, because one of the things we're going to talk about was
was Matthew and Eric, and so we're not going to get into that. So that right there can eliminate that. The Christian formation, and I'm going to take a detour here and just talk a little bit about Christian formation team. It's an opportunity for us to maybe speak in and have things. We identify things going on in the congregation where we can work with the Christian formation team and have them to schedule classes related to some of the things we want to address. And I think we can get more involved in that. We have not probably taken advantage of it as much as we should have. And one thing in particular, in terms of we've been challenged with giving decreasing over the last 5 years. And Dave and the financial team has done a great job on the ledger side of things, some creative things in terms of how they've addressed it. In particular, the CFS, how they're dealing with that in terms of the giving. And so that's been some creative things that they've done. But we probably can do more in terms of an eldership, in terms of how we want to communicate to the congregation. The Christian Formation Team is one of the ways we can do that. So, but anyway, that was just a little side note, but I think we want to talk about the Christian Formation Team and how we can utilize that to help the congregation mature and address some of the things we see need to be addressed in the congregation. Definitely want to talk about missions and maybe even update the congregation a little bit on what's been happening there in France with the gift that we gave them almost 2 years ago, Dave, around 2024. One of the things that seems to be really strong here is volunteerism. And just look at the food pantry. It takes quite a few people to operate the food pantry. And so that's going really strong in terms of teachers. For the children, teens, and adults, we tend to do okay there. I know there's some challenges, but we tend to get those roles filled when need be. And for special events like VBS, Fall Festival, and then the fellowship team, just wanted to just acknowledge and call those things out and how well those are going. And people, there's always opportunities to recruit more volunteers and more volunteers, rather. Use of the building. The building is, as I always say, it's one of the most visible things that the community see and how they relate to us. And so we do a pretty good job of making it available for the community through basketball, pickleball, large election site. And then I think your group, we're going to talk a little bit about that today. And if we decide we want to do that, we might even mention that's going on there. So then we will talk a little bit about some building improvements over the year, exterior painting. Four floor covering, we replace that, and then some other things that we address in the building. Just remind the congregation, we do own some rental properties. Those are going really well in terms of their cash flow. They're doing well. Just want to remind the congregation about that. And then some of the challenges we have, like the aging building, and we got to deal with the roof at some point. HVAC equipment is kind of getting up in age, and so that's something we just need to just remind the congregation that.
How hard would it be to put a dollar amount, just an estimate, on each of those, you know, to say, just give people a perspective of what we're talking about?
Yeah, I can put a dollar
amount. I mean, it's not a $5,000 air conditioner, and it's not a $10,000 roof.
We're told that one piece of equipment that's over the auditorium can cost us as much as $40,000.
Yeah, I think it'd just be a good time to just start giving people perspective that these aren't small fixes.
This is not like fixing your house.
Yeah. It's not a new roof on your house.
Well, and even your house, you don't like to do that. So yeah. It's like a new roof and a new air conditioner.
That put a dollar amount on that. Then we talk about the trajectory of congregational giving. Dave's going to already talk a little bit about that. Just going to be mentioning it again during this period, not go over all the details that he's going to cover during the worship time. then we just talk about the eldership over the years, the transition, what it looked like now, and how we are bringing man on. Again, might not go there with that because of the discussion we had today, but just then talk about membership, members that we've lost and how we have evaluated that and agonized over what role we may have played and how, can be more proactive in the future, learn from lessons that, maybe we could have done things a little bit better. So those are the left and right sides of the ledger. Then moving forward, hospitality, and we talked a little bit about being a welcoming congregation. Leadership training, which we'll talk a little bit about today, is what we're going to do in terms of not only the elders, but the prospective men who are working with us will be a part of the training as well. Sermon series that are coming up, first part of next year, Names of God and I Am, we'll hear from Andrew on those things coming up. And then the restructuring and reorganizing the Connect group, and obviously want to acknowledge Dale's good work and the vision we have for it moving forward. And then we'll talk about Andrew's opportunity coming up at Pepperdine Compelling Preaching Initiative and get the program details and some dates there. New members and the restructuring of the children ministry, the family and children's ministry. That is the agenda.
So it's kind of a pros and cons where we are right now, and then a look forward to the coming year, you know, as something to communicate. It didn't feel like after the eldership thing, we got a lot of questions that we were going to use this to flesh out and address. But if there's anything, and so we came up with this idea of what to communicate to raise people's awareness of a bigger picture of, you know, more things that are going on. Unless there's something you guys felt like, mm-hmm. well, let's use this congregational meeting to...
I like it. To remember it all.
Yeah, I like it. I'm not sure. Initially, it hits me wrong just talking about, you know, the change in the eldership. And I just seem like it'd be better off just to get rid of that first bullet point.
Which
one? Glenn, Hop, Jones, West, Pam, okay. Earnhardt. and, you know, I don't know what we're trying to communicate.
Based on the conversation tonight, we probably won't get much of that at all.
Yeah.
But it'll open up opportunities for us. The error can come up, and we don't want to get into that.
Right. And then on the next one, just the, you know, loss of members and things that have, you know, we could have learned, and that's pretty open-ended. I'm not sure what you're going to try to communicate. And again, you don't want to sugarcoat things, but you don't want to be a Debbie Downer. You know, I don't know how you plan to phrase that or what's actually going to be communicated.
Yeah, what's going to be communicated there is that we reach out to members that decided to leave and try to get an understanding of what were the circumstances that led up to it, right? And see if there's some things we can do to maybe to address it mm-hmm. before they make a final decision to leave. And so I want to talk about that and then... and also how we keep the door open. You know, we keep the door open for dialogue and opportunity to continue that relationship. And if there's ever an opportunity where we don't want to make it difficult for them to come back. Sometimes when you close the door on people, it make it difficult for them if they ever decide they want to come back, right? So I think just wanted to communicate that we are, but at the same time, we need to acknowledge that we make mistakes.
Right.
You know, we make mistakes and we want to learn from the mistakes that we made. And so that's...
Yeah, and again, yeah, I think that's, you know, just communicate with us early and often, you know, we're going to make a lot of mistakes. Okay.
Yeah, good job. It's still a very, I think that's, we should be really careful with that. I don't like, so it's a very bad way to end this section. Mm-hmm. So if it was one of the middle points, I could see it because you could run through it and just sort of skip over it. Say the fact and go on, but because it's the last point, you could get stuck on it. And so one of the things so I've spent lots of time dealing with people leaving churches. In Hungary, we had a small church, and so we constantly flowed through lots of people. It was just like a constant flux. And one of the things is that I think that is really important for looking at that is that we bless those people that leave. We send them off, and we send them off in God's blessing, as opposed to sending them off. Steve, get out of here! We don't want you here. Mm-hmm. And it changes that perspective, and then we continue to pray for them, because we know that God has a place for them, and it may not be right here, And that's okay.
That's absolutely right.
And so I think that changing the spin of how you say it, I think, is important. Not that ending that, hey, we did things wrong, they did things wrong, the door's open. It's more of that we bless them, and we know that God has a place for them. And we're so glad, and then maybe if you're using it as the last one, maybe the first one is the new member one. Mm-hmm. And we're so glad that all those new member, all the people that are new here have decided to be here. Because God has blessed you to be here right now for this time, for this season.
I don't think I want to sugarcoat everything. I don't think I even want to, to finesse it. I think sometimes when you just acknowledge that you made some mistakes, and you're aware of those mistakes, because if you don't acknowledge you make mistakes and you're aware of those mistakes, it almost looks like you got blindsided, right? So I think, and we're not going to end with that, because if we decide we don't want that, that's fine. But if we do keep that in there, after we finish with that piece, we're going to talk about very positive things moving forward. Mm-hmm. So that's just in that particular section. So, right. But I do understand what you're saying there in terms of membership.
And again, I'm not really sure what you're talking about. To me, it makes sense, like in the middle of this, to say, hey, we stumbled coming out of COVID. We struggled and, it was tough. And, in the middle of that, we struggled bringing on a youth minister and a lot of miscommunication there kind of things, if that's what you're going to say. And we're learning a lot how to better communicate. And part of that is you need to let us know early if we're, misstepping. And I'm not sure what you guys are planning to say, but that kind of makes sense. But I'm not sure what you guys had intended.
We were trying to think of the things that are kind of headwinds for the congregation or things that we're facing. We've got a lot of positive going, but we've got some challenges too. And so the building was one thing. Our trajectory of our giving was another thing.
Right.
Members come and go was a third thought. And so, chime in on the right
just way, that? Okay.
Or whether that's worth
bringing
up.
I see what you're saying. If that's what it is, that
movement, and that, hey, we're not burning bridges, and we're trying to bless people.
I see what you're saying. That makes sense.
It's some things you talk about is uncomfortable, but I think need to talk about some of the uncomfortable things.
Like what? What are you talking about? That's what I'm getting confused on.
We make mistakes.
I know, but about what? I mean,
sometimes I don't think I need to get into specifics, because I think sometimes you get into specifics. As I think about, I'm not going to get into what happened with Colin Quarter. I'm not getting into specifics there. Or maybe even Jason. I'm just going to say, hey, we're learning from some mistakes we made. Some of our mistakes have been that, we may not have communicated, some things, or we miscommunicated some things, and so I think, and we're learning from those. And so,
a couple of observations. You've got so much material there, you'll never get through it all. I would tell you, you need to cut half of it. Things that we did 2 years ago. I would just chop that right out and, go to the fact of where we're at now, what we need to do, and the things that are important, as opposed to, trying to sugarcoat anything. Yep. I'm just saying, I think we need to cut to the heart. And then at the same time, people come and go. Well, the teaching on the parable of the sower kind of tells us that that's not unusual. And so I don't think we have to beat ourselves up and flail ourselves for the fact that, not everybody stays here. But as you said, we bless every person that comes through here, and we try to, love them and do what we can. And I think that's, pretty susceptible to, making people feel like they're wanted here. I met Bailey the other day for the first time. I had a chance to, she was just like thrilled with what was happening. It's really nice to hear, somebody that says, this is really a great group, and, I don't know her at all, really.
Well, that was my one thought is, I was thinking of the purpose. The way you said it, I had no problem with. You know, it's just a comment of, hey, you know, one of the reasons we're in some a little bit of the situation we are with, you know, finances and other things is we did lose some members over the last couple of years. That's fine. And admitting, hey, some of that was mistakes we made and we're learning from them. But, you know, I definitely don't think dwelling on it is a big thing because we do have a bunch of new members that for them are going, what are we talking about? You know, and you know, even me, that there are still people who are brought up and going, oh man, they left. And I'm like, I don't even know who they're talking about. And so I think that's one of the things that, you know, I always look at it from the eye of, you know, what are the Prodgers thinking if they stick around for this? What are the Fronts going to think if they stuck around for this? They don't stick around for class yet. So.
Okay.
But I think we like it. I think, you know, don't sugarcoat stuff, but end on a positive note. And I think, yeah, just highlight all the happy, good stuff. And but, yeah, 40 minutes is going to go quick.
And I did want to elaborate a little bit on the – I'll probably do this moving forward section. So in talking about hospitality and how welcoming, you know, mm-hmm. we are, and that we want to build on that in the new year. And – realizing how Jesus was welcoming to people that made some of his disciples uncomfortable. Women at the well, and prostitutes, and tax collectors, and you name your, you know, and he was welcoming to them. And so our own awareness of if people come through the door we're not comfortable with, can we acknowledge that and challenge ourselves to move beyond that, whether it's something, someone with incarcerated history, mm-hmm. or they're divorced, or they're part of the LGBTQ community, or they wear a turban, mm-hmm. or, you know, list off of mm-hmm. things, and realize, you know, can we be welcoming? Because mm-hmm. Jesus wants people to learn about him and be introduced to him, and who's he going to bring through these doors? And so I thought this was a time to kind of introduce that, if mm-hmm. that can be a theme, something we'll be addressing this year, like we've talked about, would be a way in the context of that big umbrella. And so, does that seem okay?
Yeah, seems good to me.
All right.
So one other last point is Christian formation. You had mentioned mm-hmm. like changing that and all kinds
of... No, I'm not changing it.
Or like, because I mean, I don't understand what was the...
I think they talked about leaning on it to utilize
it
to...
Yes.
I mean, and that's always been there to be able to do that.
So we have not.
So I think what they're saying, what I heard is, and tell me if I'm wrong, is like we need classes on giving and on tithing, on using your gifts, and then using that Christian formation to help us develop
some
of that, right?
Absolutely. And I think it's one of the things that we have not as a leadership utilized as well as we can. You know, you know, in terms of as we look at the congregation and things that we think need to be addressed in the congregation, Christian Formation Team is one of the tools that we have to address those things. You know, in addition to Andrew, you know, preaching with us, and so Jeff's been a part of Christian Formation Team, but we have not really been actively involved in saying, hey, you know what, it'd be great if the Christian Formation Team can have this particular subject matter taught next quarter. So, and I think that's one of the things I think we need to think more about, how we can utilize Christian Formation.
But I think our assumption was always that it was. So, because Jeff, who was at the elders' meetings, was bringing that to us.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so that's something I think that needs to be addressed in a different manner.
But Jeff hasn't been at one of those Christian formations.
No, so I mean, because I mean, I've been at the Christian formation since it started. Yeah. So, I mean, so my assumption was always that Jeff was the one that was the elder's ear in bringing that to us, and that's why Jeff Earnhardt had taught classes, Don has taught classes, and so I mean lots of these things that we've heard from Jeff was what we were assuming was happening.
That's been missing over a year is the point.
But you've been there with us the last couple of years, and I've been there, been here with this group, and so it's been, I don't think there's been a gap. And so there could have been a gap that the leadership was not passing the information that, hey, this is what we need to teach.
I think so. That's the gap.
But
that's the gap.
But I think that there's not been...
We haven't been utilizing
correct
the committee like we should.
Right? Yeah, so we should just be careful how we say that.
I'm not going to get much into that. That was more for us.
Because I'll tell you,
just
to
because
me,
I know. Yeah. So the one reason why I was saying that is because I have been sitting on that committee for a long time, and I know Betty has been sitting on that committee for a long time. And by saying it in a certain way, it could offend her.
No, I'm not going
to. Because she's been leading it for now two years.
That part of it is for us to hear. The part that I'm going to talk about is that it's a tool that we use to help feed the congregation.
Because I can say with great confidence that you draw a line in the sand and see the difference in our Sunday morning Bible classes since we had the Christian Formation Committee, just because there was more intentionality, there was more just idea. So it has been one of the best things that we did, I personally think. And I think we can take a more active role in being responsive and helping them and encouraging them.
Yes.
Okay. So on the next one is, I want to spend some time talking about Mr. Begon. And before we do it, this is something I wish we would have done when Lane and I, before we became elders, is I think we need to read through this together. I would like us to, if you guys don't mind. And I would each like us to read one, and we'll just go around. Because, again, all of us need to understand this, and this is what Mr. McGlaughlin is signing up for. So maybe I'll start, Dave, and then you can read the next one. So by accepting the responsibility to be a shepherd of this church family, we each understand that we are merely servants of God, attempting to be like the good shepherd in every way we can. Every member of the flock is important, and our role as shepherds and as servants in no way elevates us above anyone.
As shepherds, each one of us are members of this family and just as responsible for being submissive to the eldership as any other member. We will set the example of Christ-like submission to the eldership in all things, even if asked to resign.
As individuals, our task is to encourage, mentor, strengthen members of the family. Our primary job is to help others develop a deeper relationship with Jesus. The Bible clearly tells us we were placed here to build up the body of Christ and cause spiritual maturity.
Decisions are made by the eldership, the shepherds as a group, and not by individual shepherds. When possible, decisions are made by consensus, but after full deliberation and prayer, the final decision will be made by a majority vote. We trust one another to make the right decisions when the majority of the elders are present, and we will fully support the majority decision, even if absent.
When the eldership has made a decision, every shepherd will submit to that decision and support it completely. There is no reason for anyone to know how anyone voted. As a unified group of shepherds, no one will ever know how or why we voted, only that we supported the decision of the elders.
As brothers in Christ, fellow servants and shepherds, we will set the standard for being Christ-like by never speaking negatively about each other of the eldership or of the eldership as a group. We will treat each other with love and respect at all times and treat each other as equals in Christ. There are no chief servants and only one chief shepherd.
If at any time a member of the eldership needs to step down, he will be treated with honor and respect, and every shepherd will do everything possible to make it a positive and not a divisive transition. Serving as a shepherd should be a desire, not a lifetime position.
As a leader of this church, I understand how sin can destroy me and those around me. I will make an effort to always be on guard of my own heart and will not allow secret sin to control me. I will be active at confessing and repenting of personal sin and will be open and transparent with others and will pursue personal relationships that encourage that.
I will spend regular time in God's word and prayer. I realize that the strength to lead God's church does not come from any other primary source than the Good Shepherd.
Amen. So just wanted to read through that. No, I think you've read that before, but I think it's important before you take this on. And I don't know if Autry was kind of going through that Sunday, and I'm not sure if you guys have picked a Sunday. I think they were trying to get that in
first.
Okay, so they
and Andrew did something together.
Okay, you've got that.
Used your favorite pal, ChatGPT.
All right.
to ask for a commissioning script of a shepherd couple.
And did Steve share with you what we've used in the past? And,
I got what was used for you at least. So I actually I actually added in the Ezekiel because I put up 34:4 with the positive reframing. But and I wasn't sure where it would be placed, and you know who would want to say what as a part of this. But I thought it gives us a good backbone to work off of.
Yeah, I think with mine, I think Kreider did this, and I think Brad prayed over us with all the elders up there. You know, I don't know that we need to change anything, but I just want to make sure that we've got this laid out and that, you know, Jeff, you and Beata are comfortable with this. And, you know, again, I think we're excited and feel blessed to have you guys take this step, and so I think the sooner the better. And
you know, I do think when we pray, it should make sure it's elders and wives.
Yeah, elders, couples, correct. Yeah. So I don't know that we need to say any more, but I'll put this in my notes, and so if you can give me the soft copies as well. So on the elder training, I think Steve, you and Andrew were. Yeah. Part of that group that's going through that, and I think we're going to go through this book, and it's and it's got a video series and things that you plan to use with that as well.
So there's 12 videos, I believe, and so what we were recommending is that we take one of the monthly meetings and use that first half of that monthly meeting to go through the training. And, you know, we don't know how long it's going to take, maybe 45 minutes, you know, go through the training. And then, so prior to the class training, each class training, there'll be a reading assignment. And then there's a participation, book as well that you will have. So you'll work through the reading assignment and a participation guide. And then at class time, very likely we will see the video, which anywhere from up to like 15 minutes plus, I think. I don't recall all of them.
I think there are some longer ones. And
okay.
Some of them are broken up, so it might be we might say, please watch this one before you get here kind of thing.
Good.
Yeah. So, and then each class will have an agenda of items to be covered in the class, and then we're still kind of debating who's going to lead what, but that will be something as well. Then we'll have a time somewhere at the end of the session where participants can share additional insights from their reading that maybe wasn't covered in the formal agenda. So that will be, you know, like maybe the second monthly meeting, we'll do that.
And we'll start that when Matthew's ready to join us, right? So we'll start going through that, okay. And I got a copy of my book, so.
Great. But I know our hope was that at least the last few months, it has really seemed like the first of the month we tend to have a bigger agenda. Mm-hmm. But and we look ahead purposely so that by the second one of the month, it's a little bit less. And so that maybe that's the way we could kind of just purposely try to go ahead and the first one be thinking about further on what's other things that need to be on the agenda so that we have a lighter load, the second one.
Well, I appreciate the way you guys laid that out, so I'll put that in my notes. So good job. It sounds great to me. The next one is building use. So I was approached about a month ago. A friend of mine, I should say an acquaintance, you know, I know him pretty well. He was an AXA intern. And I guess the West Hills Church is doing some renovation, and they won't be able to use their facilities for all of 2026. And they want to know if they can use part of our building on Thursdays for a given amount of time. So I wanted to bring this to this group. It's for a year, which is long. My thought is if we did it, I would say we'd do it a quarter at a time. The other is I would also, again, this is a friend of mine, but I would say for these things, we should charge a reasonable rate. And so I would just say right off, you know, $300-$400 a month, you know, it's going to cover heating, cleaning, all that sort of stuff. And again, I'm hoping that's the baseline going forward, we do something like that. But anyway, I'm not saying that they have to do it. I just want to throw that out. I looked the church up online. I'm comfortable with their theology. I know a couple of the people that are in the group. I like them. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's a good way to get some inroads into, you know, again, like you had said, getting people to know what the building is, who we are, stuff like that. So anyway, mm-hmm. I don't know that we have to make a decision tonight. I have a lot of detail in that email I'd sent you. I don't know if there's any questions you have now, but I hope each of you will give me your thoughts.
Are you willing to give up your Thursday evenings to lock and unlock and do that?
Well, that's part of it is they have to designate how that's going to happen, who's that person's going to be. And so
we have to have somebody who's a member here who steps forward with that responsibility. That's part of our...
Typical is we need a member.
Okay.
And the exception would be if there's someone in this group we trust enough with the building access and to get it cleaned up, you know.
I'll can work through that. And
if you know that person well enough and get them started the first month, you know, do you have to be here till 11 o'clock when they leave, you know.
Yeah, because you could lock the doors as long as they were not going in and out. Then
but that... You know, someone, there's a default, and maybe that would be you if you're comfortable to say, look, you're going to delegate, get them started.
Right.
But then if there's a problem, you're the liaison or something.
That's fine. To me, that's a minor hurdle. So I just want, I don't know what you guys are feeling about the rest of the proposal.
I think
proposal.
The only thing, I don't have any reservations, but I think I don't necessarily want to lock in every Thursday. What I mean by that, I think I would keep it a little open-ended. If we have something that we want to do on that Thursday, that we can say, hey, we'll give you a week notice if something comes up, you know? So I think just having that flexibility will be good because
And the way I have it worded is exactly what you're saying. We can't guarantee we would offer... You know, we have different spaces here. We can't always offer here, but maybe, you know, we can offer down in the canteen or something. Mm-hmm. And if we can't do anything in the building, hopefully that would be a rare situation. But we would give him, we would give him notice. But I'm hoping that we can still, hey, we're going to be using the fourth floor. You're going to have to do the canteen. And that's kind of how I wrote the proposal up for them. And that we would do that.
Okay.
I liked it. I appreciated it. Their website is very inviting and very clear on who they are. I really liked that. And we have felt a weakness with a young adult group. And here somebody wants to come here and do that. And so as opposed to be threatened by that we might lose something, we could learn how to do that well. And we might even have some members decide to plug into that group here at our building and, you know, learn how to thrive with that. So I think I want it to be more of an opportunity than a threat of some kind. And their insurance issue, I liked seeing that right up front. And they weren't even squeamish about it. So I talked to Alec, and it's not a regular cleaning night where, you know, they're going all over the building or anything. I wasn't aware of any conflicts on Thursday night.
Thanks for that timing.
So as I took a good look at it and am supportive, if there aren't any other things that surface.
And I'll let you guys chew on it a while. You know, I'll make sure to put this in the notes, but I gave a pretty good write-up in that email, and I want to get back with him. I told him we were meeting this week and, you know, let him know, because I think they're chomping at the bit. They need to find something here pretty quick. But I'll reach back out to you guys. So the next one is somewhat related to the building is we have a great youth group, but they're very high-spirited, which is a good thing. And I think we just have to be aware of that and make sure that we have you know, proper oversight of what's going on, and maybe that we limit it. You know, this is the axe room, and there's certain parts, you know, hey, let's just not go in there. There's certain places, you know, there's 80% of the building you can use, but, you know, let's not do these, and make sure that we have enough chaperones or adults to say, hey, you know, stop running around, stop throwing chairs through windows, those kinds of things. And again, it's none of that, but they can get high spirit and just... I had, you know, Tom saying, you know, doors are unlocked and all this sort of stuff. And it, you know, sorry, Tom, sorry, Tom. And you know.
So what needs to change from what's been happening?
Need parents to control their children.
Well, no, I think what had happened is Tom called me one day and said, hey, all the doors on the fourth floor are open. All these doors were open. And even the axe room, and so, which was a little strange. And so Brett pulled up a video, and we saw the teams running. I think they were doing Christmas decorations, if I'm not correct.
Yeah.
They were running through looking for things. I'm not sure exactly what. Wasn't sure how they got into the axe room. But I think that prompted us to say, well, maybe when we send them different places in the building, either give them specific instructions or have someone with them so that they're not going into the axe room. And don't want them in there, you know. And they were in Tom's room over there. They were probably looking for things, you know, Christmas decorations. So it wasn't being malicious.
Yeah, I was here, and you didn't come until later. But, yeah, so there is multiple culprits that need extra supervision, and Nathan is just unable to do it.
Yeah.
And that's the issue. And so, I mean, whenever they're in a room, he can generally handle them. Mm-hmm. When they're not in a room and they're free to go, I mean, I was spending time picking up kids. Okay, come on. Nathan, you need to give Steve a new job. And this happened multiple times throughout the whole event because they wouldn't listen to me. Mm-hmm. But if Nathan gave them a job, then they may do it, or they would go sit down somewhere else.
So not so much Sunday morning.
It was the Christmas decoration time. Right. And so there were things getting broken. There were things. So we spent time afterwards cleaning up all the mess. And I didn't even know they were up here. So I did come up here, and so I didn't see the door open at that point. So it'd be interesting to see time-wise when I was up here versus when they were up here.
Right. Yeah, and I don't know if, you know, I'm not saying that Nathan's got to be the bad guy. It's like, hey, you know, the elders, we can be the bad guy for you. You know, that, you know, hey, just, hey, FYI, the elders say, you know, just, you know, no running in the building, just, you know, certain things, don't go in the axe room, and just make sure if you're going to go somewhere that, you know, you've got Nathan or a chaperone with you. Just, you know, there's, you know, we've got tools and stuff. We just, you know, worried for people's safety. And so, you know, Nathan doesn't have to be the bad guy, you know. One of us can do that.
Even in the kids' area, so whenever I got there this Sunday, I walk into the kids' resource room, and there's stuff everywhere. All over the floor. And so, because I'm sure that when they went in there, they were just playing around, fooling around, knocked over a box of toilet paper rolls, and now they're all over the floor.
Yeah.
And Devin wasn't up there. He was too busy this week to get up to the kids' area, and they had Next Gen Sunday, so he didn't really think about being up there. And so I'm sure that he got up there Sunday after Next Gen Sunday, and he's like, oh, man, what do I have to do now? I didn't clean this all up. During the lock-in, I locked every single door around the kids' area because they had broken many times things all over. And it's like, Nathan, if you can't control them, I'm going to lock all the doors and you won't be able to get in there.
Yeah. So, again, this is a good problem to have. It's a good problem to have, and, you know, we can be the bad guys. And also, hey, Nathan, let us know if we need to get chaperones. You know, I can sit up here and read a book and just, you know, give people the stink eye and you know, if that's what it takes. But, you know, so anyway, we'll see how we can move forward with that and just see if we can prevent that. So the next one is we've been having a chair every 2 months, and I think it might be better to move that back to a month, just to get the rotation through. So, you know, so every 6 months you get a chance at it, and, you know, 2 months, you know, I think if you the first month you're you know, you can keep it pretty fresh, you know, after a couple months. And I think we did that earlier because we needed continuity because of some of the stuff we were going through, you know, with the, you know, finding the ministers and stuff. And I don't know that is such a concern, and I think it may be more beneficial to do it once a month. So that's my thought. We can talk about that, and you guys can let me know your thoughts.
He wants to be back to the top again.
Yeah.
See, that's right. I want to redo it. I don't want someone to ever get stuck with Thanksgiving and Christmas on there.
That's right. pancake breakfast. Steve put out the list. Just make sure that we and our wives, it's not just we expect to show up there and we're going to work. I think Steve needs to know early so he knows how to, you know, load up the troops. And so, you know, let's make sure that we tell Steve, you know, and if our wives can help or things like that. So, and that's a great thing. You're going to love this.
My wife's comment was she's supposed to be in charge of the greeters that day. So,
yeah.
I'm going to be three states away, so.
Oh, man. Good excuse. Yeah.
Can you make a bunch of pancakes? Can you make a bunch of pancakes ahead of time?
Batter. Yeah. Good fresh. Bowls and bowls.
And then I think we're at the point where, Andrew, if we could maybe have you step on, unless there's anything you want to share with us, or but otherwise, if we just.
Nope. I'll help save time by saying.
Good night. Drive safely. I'll catch up with you. What day this week are you doing most of your work on the summit?
Tomorrow is probably when I'm going to start really working on it.
Okay. I'm pretty tied up till 2.
Okay.
Maybe after 2.
Did you get my email today?
Yes.
Okay. So Thursday?
Yep. That still works. I saw the questions.
So. Okay. Good.
That awkward moment of packing up while everyone stares at you.
Yeah.
Everybody gave him the stink eye.
Yeah, the stink eye. I saw your crayons. I liked your backpack.
Just let me know if we need to make reservations on Sunday.
Those are leftovers.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
See you.
Have a good evening.
See you, Andrew.
Bye.
So, Mr. Walker, if you could kind of maybe lead us through this.
Yeah, I can. So, Don's going to meet with Andrew. On Thursday, it's not live. Mm-hmm. And you guys only had a chance to look at the evaluation form. I think it'd be healthy if we all weighed in as a group, you know, and just kind of get a sense of where we see things going with Andrew. So we put that on record. And that also helped Don in terms of he'll have a sense of collectively what we're thinking. So that'll help him in terms of how he talks to Andrew as well. And so I'm probably with him as much as anybody. And I think he's doing, I mean, if you look at the evaluation, I gave out some feedback. I think he's doing great in, you know, almost all metrics. I mean, just in terms of what you would expect. I mean, how he communicates with the staff, his reports, you know, how he leads the staff meeting. He's getting out, trying to meet with members all across the board. I mean, you know, young, older, just how he's new members, connecting with new members. So I think there's a lot of things that are going really well. But I also think it's important that if we want to help him to grow, that if there's things that we see or opportunities for him to grow, that we be real frank and honest about that as well. Yeah. And I don't really, he and I've had a couple of conversations about blocking time out so that he can have some structured time to prepare for Sunday. And I really having a good understanding of how he's doing that. I don't want to tell him how to do that. I mean, I think that's something that he can figure out himself, but I think it's important that he definitely have some time set aside each and the ideal of how he wants to develop his sermon. Each, you know, an outline or whatever, however he wants to develop his sermon and kind of, you know, follow that and kind of refine that process. And so, and I'm not sure if he's had a chance to really figure that out yet, you know, because I haven't pressed too much. I've had a couple conversations about it. I didn't want to just keep hammering on that, but a couple of conversations I had, I didn't get the sense that he had really structured his time for sermon prep.
He mentioned that in one of our sessions, that was something he was really wanting to do, and okay. Probably based upon your input, that he really sees that as an important thing. So I think he said his struggle is that he's been surprised at how what he plans changes throughout the week, pretty much, because something will come up.
Yeah.
Somebody he's trying to get with finally calls him back and says, yes, let's get together such and such time. And so I think he recognizes very much, I think, that point. But
okay.
I can imagine it would be very difficult.
It is difficult.
Yeah.
So,
So do we have a feel for whether sermon prep is about half of his week, however it happens, or is it less than that, or is it more?
I don't have a feel on how much time. I think the other thing that related to it is that he has had difficulty finding a mentor. You know, I don't think he's really landed with somebody there yet, and I think that could be helpful too. Even if you know it's not the right one right away, you can move on from that one and find another one. You know, so. I'm not sure if he's found somebody that he can talk to regularly about, you know, somebody that's going through what he's going through right now already and can kind of guide him through some of that stuff. And so I think he's looking, but he just have not found. He initially thought he had found somebody in Kirkwood, and he reached out to the guy, and they had a couple of meetings, and that didn't fit well. And so, and I'm not sure if he's had a chance to really focus in on that.
Yeah, I think the Pepperdine, whatever it's called, that he's doing, I think that that's going to be one of those opportunities for him to really find that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be so concerned about it. I think that he doesn't have time to think about that, I think. At least in my mind, is I think as a preacher or as somebody who was a preacher at one point, that there's certain things that you focus on. Yeah. And I think that since he has that as an option that's going to happen this next year, I think that and that's who they are, who it's for. I think that that's where he's going to find that. And it'll fit into his timeline. And just sort of saying, hey, this is something that's going to happen, but not being too pushy almost to a point.
I agree with that.
Because you have to find the right person. Like you said, the guy in Kirkwood wasn't the right one. So...
Yeah, I agree with that. I just wonder how much time he's had to really spend to develop kind of his own kind of routine. And then with Pepperdine, you can refine that with some people, right? So that's the thing that I don't have the answer to. I think if you look at the comments I gave Don, I think it's just, you know, he's doing great. I mean, he's, let's see here.
Yeah, on the mentorship, just real quick, is you know, we it's one of the things we had it in his memorandum, so, you know, he should be at least thinking about it. And I agree, on the preaching side, you know, I think he's doing all right. He'll find something. But I think a mentor should also, as we read in our eldership document, I think he needs somebody to also ask him how he's doing with his purity and his walk with God. And I think a mentor is, he needs not just somebody to help him present on a Sunday, but... you know, that he's, you know, being a minister is a big challenge. Being an elder is a big challenge, right? And I think he needs to find somebody. It can be two different people, but he has to have somebody in his life, you know, asking him, hey, are you spending time in God's word? Are you, how are you doing with purity? And, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I think, you know, he needs that in a mentor as well.
I think he's off to a very good start.
Yeah.
And I'm most... either concerned or curious about, you know, this first 3 months, the sermons might have come very easy. He's got a lot of historical material to draw from, and maybe it doesn't take him very long, or maybe it's devouring his week and getting in the way of things, and somehow that needs to be some, and it's not an exact science, but there needs to be some manageable, you know, is it a 15, 25 hours or anywhere in that range, but... You know, if he's most of his 40 hours plus is on the sermon, then he's either way in it too heavenly, or we need to get him more tools. Mm-hmm. But if it's been coming together in one day every week, I don't think that's reasonable. You know, it'd be fine if he's that efficient, but long term, I would think he might be drawing on, hey, he's done half of this already, and it's fresh to us.
Yeah,
and
one of the things he's doing.
I don't know what that should look like, but that would be a major thing of what's that pattern looking like and feeling like. And I don't have an answer, but learning that from it.
One of the things I like about the way he's doing it is he's coming up with the topics or like the sermon series.
Mm-hmm.
And because that sort of gives him a place that he can build on, I think, a lot easier. And he doesn't necessarily have to do it all at one time. So he comes up with a theme, and then as time goes by, as he gets closer, so he's already working on whatever the theme is for the I Am, which is still two series away.
Okay.
And so he's able to build it little by little. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's, he's like you're saying, he doesn't have that method necessarily, mm-hmm. but he has themes. And so the good thing about themes is you can always continually build on it. And I was the same way that it was Sunday night, Sunday morning.
And you're changing it.
Saturday night, I'm redoing my slides, redoing everything. And it's like, because there's some people that just work that way. You know, some people prepare a lot and get it all fine-tuned, and you just get up there and do it. Mm-hmm. But others are, if on Saturday night something comes up, it's like, well, I need to change all this. Mm-hmm. So by spending all that time.
Sometimes the Holy Spirit kind of changes things for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, but I think generally I would echo Steve's as part of the staff, and I thought he did a very good job coming in, at least over the next gen side of things. In taking the role that he's taken, and he's been a youth minister for so long, so he sort of has that in the background, but he's not coming as a youth minister necessarily a lot of the time. He's coming as that senior minister now, as opposed to as he sees Nathan as the youth minister, and so he knows. So I think he's done a pretty good job as taking up the staff and the next gen side that we had asked for him to take.
I have two concerns. One is when you send people to these institutes and stuff, and it's good, guess what's going to happen? We're going to lose them.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, just point that out. I think that happened with Jeremiah. I mean, you know, he went down there to Oklahoma and had a great event, and next thing you know, he's in Dallas.
Yeah.
So I think for 90 days, he's done a remarkable job. Coming in where he's at. My concern is I'd love to see him get his family moved over on this side of the river. And he's got four kids. And I watch my, son-in-law and daughter working with four kids like that. It is immense just dealing with all of that.
That's
at
true.
The same time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I think from what I'm seeing, though, he's doing a remarkable job.
Yeah.
So my thought is, let's not press him saying, you got to do this or that, but let's really try to get him involved in moving in this direction as best we can. I know that, he's got a lot on his plate, so.
Yeah. We had his family over for lunch on a couple Sundays ago, and I asked him, how's your commute going? He's actually enjoying it. It's about 35 minutes, and he's using it to listen to stuff, and that surprised me. But I know his wife likes her job, and I guess they like the school district they're in. And so he didn't elaborate a lot. The commute itself has not been burdensome, but I got the impression he wasn't in a big hurry.
Yeah.
And so... for what it's worth, that was the impression I got.
Yeah, I don't think that they're against it still. I mean, my feeling was that they were still working towards that, at the mid-year, so which is right around now, to start making the final steps to actually putting the house on the market and things. They had been fixing the house up in the late fall, so I because he's been coming to our small group with Brett and I, but they have not put it on the market yet. So if you're looking for a house up in Alton.
Yeah, another rental house. Yeah, I think he's doing well, and I want to make sure that he feels appreciated and loved. I get a sense. I don't know how much dysfunction he was dealing with for years and years where he was, but it doesn't seem that he's carrying any of that baggage with him, but I want to make sure that he knows that we are affirming him, that we expect a lot out of him, but that we are behind him.
It's a fresh breath for him to be able to say what he wants to, and he doesn't have to worry about it.
Yeah,
just based on the weeks that we've gotten together, I think he is very pleased about being here, and I think it just gotten to a point there where he was that it was getting to be some issues as far as just some baggage and things that he was ready to be done with himself. So I think, he's very, very happy. He's probably still got some questions, and every meeting I ask him as we're leaving, I said, okay, you gotta ask the question. You got
something you still haven't resolved or haven't figured out or something I can help you with. And he's asked a couple good questions about our history and, you know, just particular families and, you know, but I think he's very, very pleased. And what I'll do on Thursday is just take all the thoughts that you guys have given me and just give them to him as a response from the eldership, not anything specific from anybody, but, and I think, you know, it'll be very positive, and it'll be, I sent him today the things that I wanted him to think about and respond to me about on Thursday, just about his thoughts on certain things, and we'll get that, but yeah. Good. And as far as losing him, Brad, I think that is always a risk, but I think too, he is, I think he's particularly happy here. How do you look at a guy like Jeff, you know, for 30 years? Who wouldn't have wanted to steal him away, you know? Mm-hmm. And you know, I think guys just, if they feel appreciated, if they feel they're being treated fairly, I think, and mature, I think he's a very mature. I mean, I was probably more skeptical about him coming just because he was no experience, you know. You know, had a lot of good things, but still just, but he has just amazed me as far as just in so many ways, you know, his depth and his sincerity and his transparency and, you know, just the things that he's shown that I think are real mature markers, you know. And
yeah, on the Jeff Kreider thing, and again, I don't want to rush anything, but, you know, Andrew seems more grounded than I was expecting, and you know, maybe in 6 months we could say, hey, you know, maybe we can bring Jeff Kreider in earlier if, you know, Andrew is comfortable with it. Because again, I think Andrew needs to be our primary concern. That, you know, hopefully we can revisit that in 6 months. Because I would really like to get Jeff Kreider's input in here, you know, around this table. But yeah, again, I want to first make sure Andrew's, you know, comfortable first.
Yeah, so
good. So
I think if there's anything we as a group can do is anything we can do to help Lydia feel at home and comfortable.
Yeah,
he has mentioned to me a couple times that she has, struggle's not the right word, but she just hasn't felt, it was a big change for her to come here and she's, you know, he said, I don't know that she ever thought she'd be a preacher's wife, you know, I think we've heard before from other people that the preacher's wife always has that extra load of what's expected of me. But she seems to be just wonderful being on the praise team and just involved. And I'm hoping that she'll make some good friends.
Yeah. Well, appreciate everybody's patience. We covered a lot of ground.
So can we go back one more?
Yeah.
Back up to the commission.
Yes.
So you mentioned, you know, twice about a mentor. So I don't have a mentor. So I was never aware that I needed to find one. I was never aware of that. And so Ross and I had some conversations, and he's like, I think this is what they said. And I'm like, they never told me that. So do I get to be my own mentor? Is that okay?
Well, I don't know that it's a requirement. I need somebody, you know, besides my wife that I can talk to, and it's hard to find. But I mean, you know, it's not a requirement, but you know, guarding your heart is part of being an elder, and you know, you got to find a way to do that. And I just need other people in my life, you know, poking on me. And I don't know what you other guys do. I mean, that's a big conversation, a good conversation, but you know, do you have a small group? And it's sometimes it's hard in a small group to get that honest, or a men's group or something where, you know, you guys can, you know, look each other in the eye and say, you know, stop fooling me. I know what's going on, and, you know, let's talk about it. So,
yeah, I don't know if it's a difference between a mentor and just a good friend.
Well, right. I would say you have to have somebody, a good friend. Or
I mean, I feel like I've had several and have several that I feel like that for me. I mean, probably the best one was Harvey Hines. You know, he was just a great guy, a great friend.
Yeah.
I could talk to about anything. He'd talk to me about anything. you know, I look at a lot of you guys that way. I mean, I think it's just, so I think it's important to have somebody that you're, right. the walls are down and, you know, you can know that they're going to come to you and tell you if you're screwing something up or, and then do the same thing with them too. And I think that, but yeah, I think probably, to me, I bet you've got somebody like that, that is maybe a good friend that you confide in and that maybe they confide in you and you can give them permission to, you know, tell you whatever they need to tell you. If not, that's kind of what I think about when I think of a mentor. I think of it just as somebody that I'm close enough to that it's a friend, but a friend beyond a friend too. You know, so.
And then, yeah, you definitely need people in your life that you can trust. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was growing up here. I mean, the mentors that you generally find are the people that you live, you know, around, and you know, you can have constant conversations and so on. And what's tough is when those people move, and you go, "Ouch!" You know, you can't do it every day, but. In the big picture, I think also that's when those times happen, that's sometimes when you grow more. It's, you know, eventually it's like getting a suntan, you know, when the battles and the struggles come, you're learning, and things are changing. And I think more and more you've got to you realize it's the Holy Spirit and it's not any one person. And that, to me, has been what I've experienced. So if you want me to be your mentor, I'd be your mentor. Yeah. But you probably you probably do better with somebody closer to your age that, you know, you really do trust.
Brothers. Walker, would you close this out real quick?
Father, we're just so grateful that we have a God like you. Mm-hmm. We have a relationship with you. We're grateful because you made yourself known to us and given us permission to just, we talked about mentors and how we can just come to you with anything on our heart, Lord. And we know that your blood, because of the blood that you shed for us, that our sins are forgiven, that you chose to make the ultimate sacrifice and just to cover all our sins and did it in a way that caused you great pain and suffering. And Lord, we don't really fully appreciate that all the time, Lord, but right now we just want to acknowledge that that's available to us in ways that we just need to take advantage of and just remember that you what you've done for us. And mm-hmm. Lord, we just, as we sit here this evening, we're grateful to have someone like Andrew to be a part of this group and how you brought him to us at a time where we needed a lead minister and how well things are going for him. We just want to thank you for that, Lord, and just want to be an encouragement to him and his family, especially Lydia. Mm-hmm. We just pray that we can find ways to encourage her and help her feel a part of what's going on here, Lord. And we just ask that as we leave this place, Lord, that you watch over us and bless our families. And as we are men that are trying to be above board, that you that we have accountability, accountability for our actions, accountability for the words we use, accountability mm-hmm. for the things that we allow to fester in our minds. Mm-hmm. We pray that we can be men that bring honor and glory to the kingdom. We pray all this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, guys. Hopefully.